welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed. 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Ann Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonabawa.
What? Oh.
Where's Danny?
Well, I don't know.
He lives 26 feet from the station now.
Yeah.
Which is 7,226 steps for him. So he should be here any second. I don't know what the, anyway, listen, he'll walk in when he walks in.
Yeah. In the meantime, who doesn't love some Tuve and Throat Singers?
That's right.
It's a good excuse to listen to something nice.
Well, I'll talk about myself for a moment. Well, we got a good show going on today. I'll tell you about that in a second. First things first, my dog Molly.
Yeah.
Getting the teeth cleaned today.
Really?
See, there's certain things you don't know about unless you make a certain amount of money.
Right. I have been late twice in 16 years of radio.
Absolutely amazing. He will, I'm guessing Danny will be in any...
There's a lot going on.
Second now. Yeah. But the point is this. My dog Molly's getting the teeth cleaned. Now, again, there's certain things that you just don't do unless you make money.
Yeah,
I say to my money manager guy all the time, he says, well, you should have such and such insurance. You
right.
should do this. You should do that. You should have certain life insurance. You know, I had life insurance before I had kids or anything, you know,
really?
And I was like, why? And ultimately, I just said, look, whoever, if I just want to do whatever you're supposed to do when you make money.
Right.
And there are certain things you do, like have your dog's teeth clean.
Sure.
I could only imagine how much this procedure costs because they have to put the dog under.
Ugh.
Dog has to go under a general anesthesia.
At least $400.
Oh, at least. At least. And then my wife, who see, we're an amazing couple because my wife is sort of a literalist and I'm a who caresist. If I see a medical vial, a thing with, you know, drugs in it, and yeah. it says no booze, I think, oh, let's supersize this with a little booze.
Exactly. I think half a glass of wine.
Right. And she'll think, I think more than that, but she'll think, oh, no, don't get near the booze. You know,
right.
she'll, like, if I have a surgery, I had hernia surgeries, I was saying the other day. I had hernia surgery scheduled for 5 p.m. About 3 years ago. It was, I think it was a Friday, and it was 5 p.m. They say no eating after midnight.
Right.
You can't eat after midnight because of the anesthesia and what have you. So there I am deciding I want something to eat or some wine or something like that. And she's like, it's 12:03. You can't do that. I said, listen, if you have your hernia surgery scheduled for 8 a.m., they say no eating after midnight. Mine's at 5 p.m. There's a 9-hour difference between those two times. Why is it the same cutoff time? Shouldn't my cutoff time be 3 a.m. or 7 a.m.? Or do you see what I'm saying? That's
yeah.
how you know these people. Here's what I want to say to you. 99% of the things that society says, oh, no,
yeah.
is who gives a rat's ass? You know, my wife's freaking out because the cutoff time for Molly to eat is 7:30 in the evening.
Right.
Molly can't come downstairs with me in the morning and have little scraps of my eggs because you people don't realize that with attorneys and doctors and with whoever, how many rules there are, and we just do every single rule like it's the end of the world.
Right.
We don't have any in between. It'd be a good idea. Probably don't eat any 5-course meals at midnight. Let's just put it that way. If you want to have a couple of Pop-Tarts and a light beer, I'm not going to stop you. They don't do that. They
right.
just go, you can't do this and you can't do that. And I have ignored most of all those rules in the last 15 years of my life, and it's liberating. Absolutely effing liberating. Maybe the douche man has showed up. No.
It's Assistant Jay.
Now, this is weird because Danny is normally...
I have been late twice in 16 years of radio.
He's doubled that since he started here, I think.
It has been 8 months. The thing about it is when Danny's late, Danny is normally a second and a half late.
Yeah.
You see, it's interesting. if this was Danny's show, if Danny's voice was the first voice that was heard at 5:59 and 30 seconds in the morning, yeah. he would never be late.
I know.
You God see, if you told, be. If yes, if you told me, hey, Adam, you're on the Danny Bonaducci show,
right.
And when the show starts at 6 a.m., Bonaducci's going to start talking,
right.
And then at some point you chime in, well, that's some point. That would be how late I would be. I would.
I see your point.
And it's the difference, you know, I know Danny's killing himself, but it's the difference between happiness and misery.
I wonder if we should call him to see if he's awake. I see Angie. Oh, she's calling now. But to bring it back to your earlier point about Molly and the dentist and various insurance policies.
Huh.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it was Notorious B.I.G. who first said, mo money, mo problems.
Yes.
Now, Danny's got a lot of problems to do with having a lot of money right now. He's trying to divide the assets. He's staying at the Palazzo. Mm-hmm. He's got various women, wine women and song.
Stashed all over town.
Back when he was living in a dumpster, he didn't have these
that
problems.
That is the greatest story I have ever heard.
I must say, low overhead. I'm trying to think of what the... Here's what I think happy. Here's what I think. As long as we're going to get philosophical about it, I will tell you, because I've been at both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
I have had the roommates, had the crappy truck, not had any of the insurance, really been poor. And I'm not exaggerating. Now, I know if you get in the media, you're supposed to exaggerate your poorness. It's sort of like a rapper.
Yes.
If you're
a
rapper, it's nice if you've been shot.
Right. You have more hoes than
Nice if you came from the hood. I don't mean... Well, there's two types of exaggeration. All right. Yes. Both points I will address. If you're a rapper, you need to exaggerate your past.
Right.
You grew up in South Central. You grew up in Harlem. You grew up on the mean streets of Chicago's South Side, whatever it is. No one wants to hear about a rapper who grew up in Encino.
Right. You slung rock when you were 11.
Yes. Yes, I did. Oh, yes. No, the rapper did. Right. Everyone's here. You exaggerate a little bit. And then when you get a little bit older, you exaggerate a little bit with the more hoes and the more pimping and the more whatever. The truth is probably somewhere in between.
Right.
As a white guy who's on the radio, you're supposed to exaggerate your past. You know, I'm very middle class. Well, you know, anyone who grew up wealthy on the radio or on TV or anywhere will never say, yeah, we were rich. They'll go, we were middle class. And then someone will always point out and go, your dad owned 700 airports. How could you have been middle class?
And
they'll
go,
you know what? But my dad never... He used to, we used one of those air tubes to convey messages back and forth like they do at the car dealership. And he used to send one down from the, where we had the, we had a telescope up on the roof, the observatory. He would send it down to the big game room where I used to sniff my brandy. And he would always tell me, hey, you owe me $2 for that brandy.
Right. Didn't spoil you.
He never spoiled us. Yeah, they always do that crap. So I will tell you a couple of true things. I was filthy poor, and not only was my family super poor, but they are the goddamn cheapest people I've ever met in my effing life.
How would I know that?
So now you have welfare meets penny pinching. That is a rough 1-2 combination.
No, that's too bad taste.
This guy is the meanest dude you've ever met in your life, and he collects guns. That's what that is. You have the most downtrodden, poorest, cheapest SOBs you've ever met in your entire life meets super downtrodden and super cheap at the same time.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington.
Ugh, I mean, my grandmother, like, reusing paper towels, and my mom buying everything at a thrift store and
now
garage sales.
Molly's going to the dentist.
Oh, for the love of Christ, were these people cheap. I will tell you how effing downtrodden my family was.
Yeah.
Possibly is. It's out here in Southern California, it's 103 degrees today.
Yeah.
And I have a dark-colored car, and I climbed into it. Now, every time I climb, the biggest thing about making money is air conditioning in cars for me.
Yeah.
I'm hot. I'm always overheating. I never had a car that had air, and I always worked in the San Fernando Valley, where it's going to be 107 in Chatsworth today. I climbed into my car yesterday, and I park under covered parking at my house. And my car was sort of cool because it was in the shade, and then I fired up the air, and it was no problemo. And I thought, wow, it's so hot outside, yet so nice in here. My family lived in the San Fernando goddamn valley for their entire lives. They still do. None of them have covered parking. Not so much as an awning, not so much as a parking, you know, forget about garage. They don't have anything. So their cars would just bake out in the sun all day long. So when you take a 68 VW Squareback with black vinyl in it and you set it out in the San Fernando Valley on top of blacktop and it sits there for 6 hours, it's 180 degrees inside of the car. And that's all. No, they never built a carport. They never had a thing. They just parked it in the driveway. Well, it'd be 180 degrees and the car had no goddamn air conditioning. So when you get in the car at 2 p.m. on a day like today, it's 50 degrees hotter than whatever the ambient temperature is, and the ambient temperature is into the triple digits. Now, when you climb into the back of that car as a 9-year-old, how long do you think it takes the back seat to cool off? It's not going to get any cooler than 103. That's what the air is outside. But it's going to take 2 days to cool down from the 156 that it's currently at. You can open all the windows you want. That just lets the 103 degree temp in. Oh, you have to because your thighs are burning on the effing vinyl. Nobody thought to put a carport up or just string a piece of canvas or something across. Just some shade. There was no trees. There was nothing on the west. It was just getting the crap beat out of it by the sun. Paint fading. Dashboard buckling. The upholstery bleaching out. Why wouldn't it? It's 180 degrees inside the car, and that's how my parents chose to live and continue choosing to live that way. That's
milk
how they
was
live.
A bad choice.
That's how my family lived.
What and, about the cars that you now help them to own?
Oh, well, those have air, but they still sit out in the 150 degree temperature. And like I said, when a block of metal, that's all a car is a block. It's 4,000 pounds of metal and rubber and plastic. When that thing heats up to the point where you can fry an egg on the hood of the car, well, it's going to take some hours before that thing cools off. And all the air in the world is great, except for it's blowing inside a glowing hot ball of metal.
Yes, well, what 9-year-old doesn't like to arrive places covered in sweat?
What is skin like? Sticking to the back. You don't think about it. You don't think about it as an adult. Remember climbing into the back of the oven? I really, it was like a Jew in World War II. It was like, get to the back of the oven. VW Squareback.
It is a German car.
Oh, yes. And you would get gassed in there because the engine was actually in the back. It's a station wagon that has a plywood hatch on it where you can find the engine. It always smelled like gas. And if you got in the back of that car in the summer, you would just fry until you got wherever you went. Dive out of that car. I felt like a dog trapped in some parking lot, some white trash owner. Anyway, speaking of dogs, Molly.
Yeah.
Molly getting her teeth cleaned, everybody. Yeah. That's going to set me back a grand. And Ozzy has to go pick her up from the...
Did you ever think when you were riding in the back of the car, 118 degrees, that you would one day be paying one of your many minions to take your dog to get her teeth cleaned?
Man, one of the guys sitting next to him when he was driving.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Yeah, I know. Me and Oz, man. All right, we'll take ourselves a quick break. Coming up on today's show, we have a reenactment. We were talking about it yesterday. Me and Bald Brian are going to do that. The guy was killed while trying to have sex with a horse. Someone will be contacting his next of kin. That should be uncomfortable. Hanson in studio.
In studio.
In studio. I've never met Hanson. I'm excited about this. We'll do a little designated ranter. Jeff Lewis, he's the guy from Flipping Out. He's the super anal retentive guy from the new show Flipping Out, where he flips houses. I've seen the show. His work is good.
Yeah.
And we share many of the same qualities, sadly. Ooh. Same taste in men.
He's gay.
That's right. Jeff, good job, Bri. Jeff Lewis from Flipping Out. When we come back, we're going to do a little recap of the Flava Flav roast. We were listening and laughing our asses off yesterday over the Comedy Central roast of Flava Flav with Jimmy Kimmel and Lisa Lampanelli and folks like that. Oh, we have a little tease?
I got a little tease.
All right, let's do a little tease.
Flavor Flav is so skinny and black, he looks like a Make-A-Wish kid whose last request was to try on a wetsuit.
Jimmy Kimmel.
That's racist. I bet Sarah wrote that joke. All right, we'll take a quick break. Back with the roast next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. With an early peek at this morning's program, here's our program director, Jack Silver.
Today ain't nothing but a gangster party, peeps. From the new show on Bravo, Flip It Out, Jeff Lewis. A new round of gay walking. Also, performing live in studio, Hanson. What, Color Me Bad canceled? We're going to check in and see how many of Danny's MySpace friends he's got left after his girlfriend deleted all of them. Hey, Devo, it could be worse. She could have deleted your bank account. Or as I call it, marriage. I love Lakers 101.
Thank you, Jack. Phone number's 866-901-ADAM. Let's get to it. The Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, indeedy, deedy, deed. The Dooch Man on his way.
I have been late twice in 16 years of radio.
I don't want to kick a man when he's down, but I would say the over-under estimate on the amount of times Danny's been late to this show has been six.
I'd say around five, six.
Now,
I see him.
When you, I would say this, though.
Yeah.
Many of Danny's tardies have only been by the second.
That, yes.
Wow, look at that hair.
Oh, oh my.
I've been up 5 seconds.
Looks like, wow. Looks like one of them troll dolls.
I live at the corner.
Cupid doll.
I live at the corner, and Angie just called a moment ago.
Did Angie wake you up?
Yeah.
Give me that gum.
No, I haven't brushed my teeth. No, I mean, I got up, and I went. Really? You want to know what?
Sure. Yeah, yeah, why not?
Can I start with saying that dirty bitch? Although it's not really her fault.
Which one?
Remember that dirty bitch, Amy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She deleted your MySpace.
No. Yes. I did something about that a little bit. I'll tell you later. But our whole entire alarm system, and this is so not her fault.
Right.
Collectively, we have 3 cell phones. Did you know cell phones have alarm clocks in them?
Yeah, I use mine every day as a backup.
Oh, yeah. I found out yesterday when Dawson had to be woken up by Angie.
Yeah.
Because he uses a cell phone.
Yeah, it's a backup.
I've never tried before. This is not
Neither
a thing.
Neither is Dawson.
Oh, okay.
Evidently.
Okay. So, literally, mine's next to the bed. Yeah. One of her, she has two. One's called the Danny phone. Wasn't that cute? Sorry, she's gone. Mm-hmm. All right. So, mine would be right next to my bed, and she had said it. One would of hers would be in the bathroom, and one of hers would be in the living room. Next to my cigarettes. By the time I got to my cigarettes, I was up.
Mm-hmm.
Without Amy, I decided, I'll figure this out. How hard can this be?
Mm-hmm.
So either this bitch is going to go off at 4:30 this afternoon,
mm-hmm.
or I just didn't do anything.
I mm-hmm. see.
So Angie, literally, you know where I live.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Literally, pants, no underwear, shoes and socks, shirt, didn't brush my teeth. So I'm going to go with under 2 minutes I've been awake.
What, now, where do you don't have an alarm then now, right?
Do you not
have an alarm clock?
I think in one of the boxes I didn't bother to unpack because I was sure I was going to get invited back home.
You
mean back home?
Yeah.
Meaning?
Former.
You know, wife, kids, that home.
I see.
Mm-hmm. And what about that kitchen timer I gave you, my smoking timer.
What? That's so funny. It's sitting right on the kitchen counter. And I remember
that
saying,
baby will work.
If you set it the certain amount of hours in ahead, so it equals 4:30. I can get up. I'm living there. I can get up and be wide awake because the point is not just getting up at 4:30. I only get up at 4:30 because there's not a lot of prep for me on this show, just to be wide awake when I get here.
It's pretty straightforward. I use it like we were just talking about with Dawson, actually, after the show yesterday, because he had a cell phone. His cell phone didn't go off. I don't trust my cell phone for anything. I don't trust it. I know how to work it. This thing that I've been... I should buy some stock in the company. I've been telling people for years, I've been using the hell out of these little digital timers. I use them to take a nap. I take a nap every day. Just dig this.
Yeah.
You know that thing where you take a nap and people go, you know what? one out of every five times I take a nap, I wake up and it's 9:30 in the evening. I went to bed at 2:30 in the afternoon. I only wanted to nap for an hour. I'm up. It's the middle of the night now. So you go, all right, well, I'll take a nap, but I'll just kind of keep one eye open and I'll keep looking at the clock all the time. That's not a restful nap. You get this little timer, you just set it for an hour or an hour and a half or whatever it is, and now you happily nap away because you don't want to change your alarm clock to take a nap. That's why I got it. I now that I have to get up so early, I didn't in the past. Now that I have to get up so early, I just use it as a backup in case the power goes out, in case the alarm doesn't work.
I have all of those.
You go to bed. What time do you go to bed normally?
Normally, well, see, I don't nap or not nap on any regularity. If I'm real tired, I will nap. If I'm not, 11:30 at night.
11:30 at night. So you get up at
6.
That's the alarm.
Is that the alarm?
I'm assuming that's the alarm, yeah.
Good times.
No. All right. So you go to bed at 11.
The show has reached a new low.
You go to bed at 11:30, you get up at 4:30.
Well, there's good news and there's bad news now.
Yeah.
I know how the alarm works. Mm-hmm. Good news. I have no concept, apparently, of how to tell time is a bad thing.
That's
in my
the bad
age.
News. You go to bed. You go to,
I'm sorry.
You go to bed at 11:30.
Yeah.
Just take that little digital timer and set it for 5 hours and set it, leave it in the kitchen.
Right.
It'll get you.
That's where it is.
It'll get you up and get you out. It's
on my big. I have a clock that you would think was a Disney clock, but it's not. It just looks like everything that shape should be Mickey Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
The face of it is the size of a Flavor Flav clock.
Mm-hmm. Huge.
The bells are like kind of bells. You go ding 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 here. I'm here at the bank.
Right.
And they look like ears. They're that big. And I just thought something about the size of it would make sure I'm up.
Right.
As the world's lightest sleeper. It took me a while in my travels to realize that I suffer from something that almost no one else suffers from, which is I'm a super light sleeper. Mm. If you told me, if I got up at 9 a.m. every day, but you told me tomorrow you're getting up at 5 a.m., I would probably get up around 5 a.m. on my own without any alarms or any nudging or anything. I could do that. I could just go to bed and go, all right, I'll get up at 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. I would get up at 5 a.m. Most likely. I would still set the alarm
just
if it was important, but I would get up.
Yeah.
I would never, ever do that thing where people go, I have the one alarm over here. I take the other alarm. I put it on the other side. It's weird. It's like you're talking about... It's funny when people talk about themselves like they're talking about migratory birds or something. Like we take fake owls and we set them on top to scare the birds. It's like people go, I take an alarm. I put it on the other side of the room to fool myself into thinking. And it's like you're fooling. You're talking to you, right?
Yeah,
you don't have any control over yourself. And I realize when I wake up at 5 a.m., it's never like, hey, where am I or what do I have to do or I can't believe it. I wasn't asleep. I wake up at, you know, if my alarm goes off at 5 a.m., I get up at, I look at the clock at 4:30,
right,
4:45. I'm not really in that deep of sleep. I know I got to get up. Once every 2 months, it really catches me off guard. Right. But by and large, I'm awake. Nope. I don't need a second alarm. I didn't realize how many people go down. And when they go down, they're out.
I sent, and I can't remember who it was important, though. I sent an email at 3:30 this morning when I woke up. I woke up and just went real quick. Oh, I was checking MySpace to see how many people had joined since yesterday.
How many?
Since that bitch canceled my 22,000 friends.
Yeah.
Like 311. And on another subject real quick, how come out of 22,000, 15,000 were hot chicks, and out of the 311 I have now, they're fat, old, bald guys?
Mm.
Is there a program that she used?
Oh, my God. Wait a second.
Weeds out hot chicks?
Yeah, there's a hot filter.
No. Really?
Okay,
get into
Adam
that
will
filter.
Appreciate this, I think, real quick. Did anybody just hear my phone go ding just now?
Yeah. Yes.
I love my phone company, so I'm not going to say what it is. I think, maybe I'm still tired, but I think this may be the dumbest thing that ever happened. It says on my text, That was a text. It right. said, your alarm has just gone off. Would you care for 5 minutes snooze time?
Oh, yeah, I'd ask you for a snooze.
But I have to wake up. I have to wake to have gotten that message.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah, the text snooze bar.
It's the equivalent to that sign on the freeway that says Braille Institute, next right.
Right.
Who's that sign for?
Versus dropping off a blind person.
I'm guessing. But I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yes, and... But you were... You were up at 3:30 mm-hmm. this morning?
I can't remember who I emailed, but I have so few friends.
You got up at 3:30 and emailed.
And made coffee, which I put in the fridge so I'd have cold.
And then went back to bed.
I fell asleep, I guess, on the couch.
Well, on the couch?
Yeah, because this was plugged in by the couch, and it was such a startle that I assume I fell asleep on the couch after sending the email.
Well, wait a second. I'm interested in this, because this is minus booze or drugs or anything.
Right.
Because most of the time...
I'm working two gigs. They're not too late. It's not like I was up all night. I wrapped yesterday at 7 o'clock. I was out... Yeah, but it's not 11 at night. I was home by 7:30.
But you're working a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting up... Why get up at 3:30? Just curiosity?
Oh, no. I just wake up all the time.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Oh,
I mean, not set you... I don't mean set your alarm. I just mean you popped up at 3:30.
Happens all the time.
All right, and then you want to go... Do a little texting.
Just out of curiosity. I know I wrote somebody a text. I'm going to go. I did a business transaction. What the hell? I bought a house yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I made my offer, signed the thing. You know, the chauffeur limousine guys?
Mm-hmm.
They came right to my house with all the paperwork because I had already been to this house. I filled out all the documents. So life was going great. And when I woke up at 3:30 this morning, my accountant is in Detroit. Because that's why I met him. I was on the radio, and he was a loyal listener who came to all my appearances and stuff. And mm-hmm. One day I was talking to him, what do you do? He goes, I work for the second biggest accounting company in the country. I went, you're my new accountant. You're the right. listener. I give two people my business if I can, sponsors and listeners.
Right.
That's why I try and spend my money. So he's my accountant, like a friend to me. My guess is I texted him saying, you're going to get a call probably within an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Today, because it's 3 hours ahead, he'll probably be into work pretty soon. You're going to get a call very soon from the realtors that I have told you about before my last house fell through. I found this. It's another warning on my phone. I heard a beep. And I said, you're going to get a call today, blah, 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 blah. Would be my guess, because I know I sent that text yesterday, but I've only been awake a couple seconds.
But you fell asleep on the sofa.
My computer's not my bedroom. It's in the living room.
After writing the thing.
You know what? I swear to God, I'm guessing. I really, you know, you're kind of in a haze. I'm assuming that's what happened.
See, for me, this is so alien because I've never fallen asleep on the sofa in front of the TV on a recliner ever.
Okay, that...
I've never fallen asleep anywhere other than bed. I get up and go to bed.
I have fallen asleep in places that aren't even homes.
Interesting.
That's amazing.
Sort of envious. I got to tell you.
Nobody else has ever gone, oh, wow, how'd I get in this phone booth?
No.
But I'm not in those conditions anymore. But a recliner would have been heaven.
Oh, really?
Oh,
and
yeah.
And so you fell asleep. So what I'm saying is you're sitting on your sofa, you finish writing your email, and you go, and just kind of lean over and go to bed on the sofa?
No, actually, I wish. The little USB cord that gets it into the, because it used to be wireless and it won't work in my apartment. So I had to buy a cord.
Right.
Well, it's very short. It just goes from the router to the floor. So I was sitting on the carpeted floor emailing.
And you fell asleep on the floor.
I turned on CNN, which I then had to turn all the sound down because I use dictation software. And if it hears any other noise, it
wasn't
gibberish.
Right.
So I turned the sound down on CNN, dictated the message, got up, got on the couch, turned CNN back up so I could hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Angie called me.
Fell asleep.
Yep.
Good times. All right. We need to take ourselves a break.
Can we get back to how much I hate Amy?
Flavor, well...
She should have taught me.
It is her fault. You
it
know,
is
you're
her
only
fault, right?
48.
Clearly.
She's a teacher.
She
should have taught me.
It's right in her title. Flavor Flav recap. That's right. The roast. We got lots of good snippets from that. We will get to that next.
This is the Flavor Flav. And you are listening to the Adam Carolla Show, boy.
Yes, you is. They had a roast. We played little clips of it yesterday and then mentioned after the show in our little meeting we have that there's something very satisfying about hearing that format on the radio. I don't know what it is. I don't know why. It's even actually better. I would probably tend to enjoy the roast even more just listening to it on the radio.
Is it because you don't have the squeamish factor of watching this happen to certain people?
I don't know. You know, maybe it's that I've going a little off topic now, but I have a little Walkman radio thing, and I'll walk my dog around the neighborhood, and sometimes I tune into a station,
right?
A TV station, and I'll listen to Entertainment Tonight. I've heard like an E! True Hollywood Story while I was walking my dog. Somehow more enjoyable because you're now walking, the scenery is passing by, you're with your dog, and you're getting all the information on the Olsen twins.
Sure.
Okay, you know what? About that.
And you retain it better, too, by the way.
Actually, I found that I don't, but I do something different.
Oh, I do, I guess.
You know the Pod Fitness thing? I use that for lifting all the time. I think it's brilliant, but I will not give this up. I do all aerobics, like jogging, to books.
Yeah.
Books on CD.
Yeah, it's...
Try getting a workup going to Dostoevsky's Notes from the Underground.
There's something interesting about it formatically, and, well, you guys tell me if you agree or not. This is the Flava Flav Roast. This was on Sunday, just Sunday night. I guess the first one we have is Kimmel.
I think that was the tease. I think that's Greg Giraldo is the first.
Greg Giraldo is the guy who said to me before the last roast I did of Pamela Anderson, I think it was, hey, it's funny when comedians fish around. I talked about this, I think, when Lisa Lampanelli was here, but he gave me a few minutes before show. Hey, Adam, good to see you. Hey, you're half Mexican, right? No, I'm not. Oh, okay. Cut to an hour later, he's standing up at the dais there. Adam Carolla, half Italian, half Mexican. I'll tell you where he gets it. Goes and tells a joke. Of course, I'm not half Mexican, but...
And it's a mean joke. I happen to know how that joke goes.
That wasn't going to stop him from doing it. But I believe that was Greg Giraldo, and he was very good at the roast. There's a lot of guys you've heard of and some you haven't. The guys you haven't heard of are usually better than the guys you have heard of because they don't mail it in.
Right.
When you ask some big-time comedian to do the roast, he'll do it, but he's doing you a favor.
Right.
For some of the comedians, this is the only time they're on national television all year,
you know,
and they don't disappoint.
I think this guy thinks I do this because we had a tiny little conflict here for a second. Wait, Jeff Ross.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good. Never mind. I don't do it. I do remember his name.
It's not.
He was so funny in what I saw, and so was Lisa Lampanelli. It was cool to, like, personally know the funniest and hardest guys there because it takes. Funny is one thing, but balls is another. And we know the two funniest, gnarliest ones at the roast, I think.
Well, we'll hear Ross coming up, but first, Greg Giraldo.
You are one black mother. You're like a skeleton wrapped in electrical tape. You look like Idi Amin after a 3-year crack binge on the sun.
That's funny.
That's Giraldo. Also, well, now we have...
God, you could just say stuff, though, because it's a roast and the guy is there. If you said that about just a random black guy you made that joke, you'd never work again.
Yeah, it'd be bad.
But because Flav's right there, you can say almost anything you want.
I can't remember who I was talking about this with, but back in the day, the roasts were just done at the Friars Club. They were not televised. So you could really get dirty, and dirty.
Yeah, and they got good and racist back then with Sammy Davis as well. All right, let's listen to a little more Greg Giraldo. No? Some more? Is that someone's name?
Some more is a comedian.
Oh, I didn't know. I just thought it was a typo. I was looking at it, and then Mike held me up a note that said some more, and I was like, all right, we'll listen to some more.
She's a deaf comedy jam comedian.
Oh, she is. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was a deaf typo.
And she's also good with graham crackers and marshmallows.
All right, well, let's listen to some more.
And not only are you dark, but you're skinny. You look like Magic Johnson should look.
No, you
applause and cheer if it's a good joke.
Good times.
Yeah.
Here's Kimmel, by the way.
Flavor Flav is responsible for more homeless black children than Hurricane Katrina. At the end of the night tonight, we're going to hold you down and give you a vasectomy, just for the good of the human race. Chris Benoit is a better father than Flavor Flav.
Possibly the harshest joke of the night.
Yeah, but so what? If it's just comedy of the tour, that's just the baddest joke of the night.
Let's hope they don't have basic cable in heaven or hell.
Yeah, I was going to say, why? They won't see it.
Well, his family.
His kids. Man.
Patton, this is Patton Oswalt, I imagine, responding to Cat Williams. Cat Williams is the pimp comic who was in Norbert, and he's kind of hot and up-and-coming guy. I think he was on the show. Pretty sure it was on the show, yeah. Cat Williams, anyway, this is Patton Oswalt responding to, well, the dais.
Thank you, Pimp in a Thimble. tiny little pimp in the thimble, smacking his bitches with a daffodil stem. Ooh. Check out the dais. There's Cat Williams, Ice-T. We've got Ron Jeremy in the audience. Who is Skanks right now? Bill Maher must be exhausted.
Yeah, see, not only do you give it to whoever's getting roasted, but you give it to anyone who's in the audience or anyone
who's not even there. I'm going with Maher.
Paris Hilton was sitting in the front of one of these ones just talking on her goddamn cell phone. There's nothing, as a comedian, there's nothing you want to see less than Paris Hilton talking to nobody on a cell phone right in front of you the entire goddamn show.
Or anybody, for that matter, because I don't know about you. Stand-up comedy, to me, is probably the only truly frightening thing I do. Everything else, I can kind of, I'll take it. What a guy. Stand-up comedy, to me, is 300 people saying, make me laugh. Mm-hmm. I dare you. If I have a dollar in the bank, I try not to do it. If I can pay my rent, I won't do it. It's too scary.
Yeah. I know.
Do you ever do straight stand-up? Like, hi, I'm Adam Carolla, and you know the other day.
No. I'm rarely funny.
Me too. I didn't say that. I said I'm broke. I didn't say it was funny.
I would do it if I had to, I imagine. Yeah, I don't want to. I'm not interested in it. I don't like the repetition of it. I just don't enjoy. I like to do improv. I suppose I could do it if I had to do it. I just don't want to do it. But if the wheels come off the wagon, I imagine I would do it.
I have 16,000 reasons to do it every month.
Per month.
Yeah.
All called alimony.
Good times. This is Snoop Dogg on Ice-T.
You know, Ice-T been in the game so long, they should just call him Ice Age. I tried to listen to one of Ice-T songs on the way up here, but I didn't have no cassette player in my car.
Oh, that's cute.
Snoop's getting good at these, too.
He's a non-comedian, but he does a good job.
Yeah, but someone wrote that for him.
But he still has to deliver it and get a laugh.
Absolutely. Jeff Ross on Flava Flav now.
You look like Whoopi Goldberg and Gollum from Lord of the Rings.
Yes, he's good.
Had an abortion.
Wow.
This is impossible. How do you embarrass a crackhead who wears a Viking helmet?
Speaking of crackheads and Viking helmets, T.
Yeah.
The news. Give us a little tease before we go to break.
Well, you know that self-proclaimed pedophile that's been in the news?
Yeah, he's at the light.
Oh, the latest on him and the guy who was busted by 1-800-Flowers.
I should try to pull a clip of him I saw on CNN this morning. Did you see that?
The Flowers guy? Yes.
No. Well, CNN was on that. I mean, the Flowers guy was on CNN, but the self-proclaimed pedophile guy I saw on CNN as well.
He's creepy.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find that.
Even
we'll
for
see
a pedophile.
If we can accompany, accompany your news with that baby.
Yeah, we'll look for that.
All right. Wait a minute. We're going to do Jeff Lewis from Flipping Out. Oh, and then the news.
Yeah.
Ah. Yes, Ange? Yes. Oh, okay. So we will do Jeff Lewis is my new gay OCD hero. He does a show called Flipping Out where he flips houses. But it's high end. It's not crappy houses. And if you're interested in making money or architecture or interior design, it's a really cool show because they show all the houses before and the after. I'm into it, and I'm also into him. He's on next, then we'll do the news next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Still to come this morning, the kids from Hanson are in the studio. Adam's going to take your pet peeve and run with it as the designated ranter. We'll dig deeper inside Danny Bonaducci's love life and sit down with Flipping Out's Jeff Lewis.
Whatever you need to tell me right now, but anything else, I don't want to hear about it. Sorry, but I got a bunch of f***ing idiots that work for me, so that's the problem.
Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, kindred spirits, me and Jeff Lewis. Jeff Lewis?
Good morning.
Good to speak to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've seen both episodes of Flipping Out.
What'd you think?
I enjoyed it.
A good time.
Well, let me put this, let me float this theory for you, Jeff Lewis. And I used to be a contractor, and I've flipped many a home.
Aren't you still a contractor?
I guess I am.
Dude, you have a crew of 1,000.
I am always working on something, so I've done what Jeff has done many times and enjoy the process, but Jeff seems to be going insane.
Yeah.
And I was going insane when I did it as well.
I'm sorry. If Breaking Bonaducci built homes, it's this guy. Just melting down while flipping homes.
Yes, Jeff.
Danny, I saw your house, by the way. I looked at it a few weeks ago. I was interested in it.
What do you think?
It's a beautiful house.
One realtor said I could get $1 million more than I'm asking, and one realtor said it's way overpriced. What did you think?
Well, I think with a few tweaks, I think it could be. I mean, Danny, that house could be $6 million, let's be honest.
Really? With some tweaks?
It's fantastic.
My wife's never going to move out.
Jeff, can I ask you a question? If a celebrity or someone of note has lived in the house, does that alter the value of the house?
Yes, it does.
Not this right.
Well, no, it goes both ways.
Yeah. Right. It's worth several hundred thousand dollars more.
That's right.
Now, this is it's interesting because a celebrity who's very, very private, and I was told this, toured my house the other day, and I'm a big fan of this particular person, but his people told me if you mention he was here on the radio, he definitely will not buy it because he's super private. Because I thought, what a great story about this particular guy going through my closets, because he was recently come out of one.
Right.
And they said it won't be funny, and he won't buy this house.
But
you really think that's a $6 million house with a couple of tweaks?
Yeah, I do. I think it's a beautiful house. I think it has what everybody wants. You've got the square footage. You have the views. You need a pool, Danny. And I don't know if, you know, I don't know what the situation is if you have the time to throw it in. But you need the pool because someone that's going to spend that kind of money, they want a pool.
You know what's weird? It had one, and the old lady that lived there that I bought it from didn't want to deal with it, and it's been covered up.
Well, how much to throw it back in?
I know where the pool used to be because I spent a lot of time at your house. I would move it over a little bit to where you could see it from the living room. And
now,
the views, you have the you know, it's gated.
What year's the house? 20s?
26.
26. So old bones, it's Spanish, gorgeous. Hollywood, in the hills home.
7,200 square feet with the most amazing theater one of the most amazing theaters you've seen in a home.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah. Wow, you're making me feel really good. The problem is, because my wife and I are getting a divorce and she's going to sell the house and I can have, I moved out. And without the jerk that she hates in the house, why would she move out when I have to pay half the mortgage? So I have to go move back in and be a jerk.
Oh, no.
And make it uncomfortable.
Yeah, make it really uncomfortable for her.
Why don't you send Jeff Lewis in there? That'll make her uncomfortable.
Ah, a couple of hookers and a crack pipe. She's gone.
Well, true. So, Jeff, again, I've seen both episodes, Tuesday nights, 10 o'clock on Bravo. I'm looking forward to tonight's episode, although, truth be told, I'll TiVo it and watch it tomorrow.
But he's not kidding. He will watch like nobody else watches. This really is what Carolla does. I was going to say best, and that's not true, but this is what Carolla's passion is.
Yeah.
You're going to like episode 3 because we get back to the business. I think, 2, we got a little sidetracked with Monkey and the acupuncture, and we get back to
Monkey's the cat.
3.
Has a like a sort of Persian cat that he took the acupuncture, and the cat went nuts.
Wait, Monkey is Jeff's cat?
Oh, was that Monkey?
Monkey, yes. I have 2 cats and 2 dogs.
Right.
And they get acupuncture.
Well, Monkey does because he's been sick. And but it didn't work out too well last week.
No, and look, you try to take a cat and move it off the sofa, you're in for trouble. You try to stick pins in it?
Right.
I'm doing not the math on that one. Yeah, the cat was freaking, and it was Jeff's assistant that had to take the cat to do it, and he tried to hold the bag over the cats. Have you seen the footage, Jeff? I imagine you have.
I did. I had to leave the room.
Painful.
But when I came back,
monkey.
I noticed that Stephen also was traumatized. And I think, I'm not so sure who was more traumatized, either Stephen, my assistant, or Monkey.
Stephen broke down in the car.
Yeah, oh, really?
I think that he, you know, it wasn't necessarily about the acupuncture. I think it's the 3 years that he's been working for me and all the crazy stuff I've had to do.
Well, what's crazier than taking your cat for acupuncture?
By the way, Stephen's straight, right?
No, Stephen is not straight.
Oh, okay, because this would have been...
On the air?
That's fine. I'm just saying it would have been a first. It would have been a first seeing a straight guy break down over someone else's cat.
Right.
It's never happened in the history of straight living.
It wasn't about the cat. It's about the 3 years of the crazy past.
Cumulative effect.
Yes. So
he
now...
finally had a breakdown.
Now, let me just tell you something philosophically, and you can tell me if you feel this or not, Jeff. Jeff Lewis from Flipping Out, my new favorite show. You, by the way, filled the void that Jonathan left with Blowout. There was a huge gaping hole left in my heart when Jonathan from Blowout left the air.
You can't have gaping without...
That's right. Jonathan was a great character. The problem is, who cares about hair?
There's two issues, though, really. There's a big difference. You're interesting and you're a little crazy sometimes. But he's a swaggering ass. You know, he's a pompous ass.
Yeah. Jonathan. Yeah, that's what I... Listen, I didn't love hair, and I didn't care about hair either. I just cared that he cared that much about hair.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying to you. Now, Jeff, me and you, we got a home run here because I not only care about you and all your eccentricities, but I love the topic.
We love real estate.
I love real estate, and I love building. But let me float this. And I'll get a little philosophical, so everyone just dig for a second and tell me what you think of this. I realized that home improvement and real estate and developing properties and building in general is sort of a metaphor for life. Everyone talks about how rewarding it is when you've built something with your hands and you can see the finished product and so on and so forth. But here's the problem. The problem is an unfulfilling life, by definition, is you never appreciating the moment. You're constantly looking ahead.
Right.
That's the message. If anyone could give you the message, anytime a yogi talks or a guru or a shaman talks, they go, enjoy the moment. Get in the moment. Stop looking ahead to the next conquest, the next event, the next vacation. Live for today. Right. Enjoy today. You don't know what tomorrow will bring.
No, you're absolutely right.
Well, when you do home improvement, all you do is look ahead on the calendar. You never enjoy the moment. First is, I got to get the house. Second is, we got to demo out this house. Third is, when is the slab being poured? We're doing the addition. When the slab's poured, do you think you sit on the slab for a week and go, wow, this is the best slab I've ever seen? No, you yell, why isn't the framing up? When the framing's up, you don't enjoy the framing. You go, where's the stucco guy? Where's the drywall crew? Where's the insulation? All you do, and the second you're done with that, where's finish?
Right.
It just keeps going. So by definition, you're always looking ahead. You're never satisfied. If a guy like Jeff Lewis was satisfied, the house wouldn't get finished.
Right. But we've seen that
and
in
miserable.
Action with Mr. Carolla. He bought a house somewhere up by the ocean, and... he said he was going to have his son and daughter's first birthday party there, and apparently it was kind of a shack 30 seconds ago. When we got there, it looked like a Caribbean kind of flow through home, but there were men carrying rolled up grass and laying it down in the middle of the 1-year-old's birthday
party. I can't talk about it because of the lawsuit, but a 2-year-old is still buried in the lawn. Actually, was rolled over by Mexican.
You can hear him cry for very quiet.
We found him like those miners. Yeah,
you flip houses, and this is not about flipping houses, except I want everybody to know, if you look at the Sunday real estate section, you see the house in Los Feliz worth $4.5 million.
It's worth $6 million.
This young gentleman on his own TV show said it's worth $6 million. I'd go buy it right this second. Quick run. Call Shofi Realty.
It's worth $6 million with some repairs.
He needs a pool.
It just needs a few things.
Fine. Yeah. Come over and do it. Bring your cameras.
It needs Jeff to wave his magic wand over it.
It's a beautiful... beautiful home, and I like your dog without the hair.
So Jeff, Bonaducci, just to give people an idea of what you do for a living, Bonaducci's house is on the market for 4.5.
Yes.
You try to swoop in and get it at 4.15 or something.
I try to get it for 3.5.
Make it worth 6.
You try to
put in a million, and I'd sell it for 6.
Got it.
Right. I would get 6, no problem.
How long would that take you?
You would get 6, no problem. Do you think you get it for 3.5?
It all depends. It depends on how motivated the Bonaducci's become.
Right.
In 6 months from now, you could swoop in.
Well, I don't know. I mean, again, because it's the Bonaducci's, someone might come in and pay for one.
Mm-hmm. So you get it for 3.5, or even if you got it for 4, you put a mill into it. It's a big chunk of change, but then you sell it for 6.
We put a mill into it. It was a fixer-upper. We did all that.
Right.
That house was a 5,000-square-foot house.
The only thing, Danny, is I would take that kitchen, and I would take the maid's room behind it, and I'd make a huge gray room, because that's what... The really wealthy people that are coming into Los Feliz, and you know Los Feliz, Danny.
Yeah.
They want these huge great rooms, this big kitchen, because that's where everybody's living now.
Yeah.
Right.
So even though the kitchen's gorgeous and
amazing
restoration, I would make a huge great room, and then you've got to get the pool in. I'm trying to think what else.
Oh, who cares? Jeff Lewis, everybody, flipping out. Tuesday nights, 10 p.m., I'm going to be watching on Bravo.
I'm going to be watching. I have not had a chance to see it. I've seen the commercials and gone, I love this guy. That's all I know about the show is what you do sells like crazy. But I haven't had a chance to see the show, but I'll be glued to it now.
Good.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good taste. Mazel tov to you, Jeff. I'll be watching tonight and hope to have you back soon.
Thanks a lot.
In person.
Have a good day.
All right, take care.
I think there's one important message we learned there.
Yeah.
That you can buy a $6 million house right now for. I'm going to go. She'll take 4.2. Would be my guess.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even 4.1.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean the celebrity that's looking at your house?
No, my house right now. If you call and that guy said it's a $6 million house, $50 is my wife will take 4.1.
Right.
But I would do that right now that that just happened. Chauffeur Realty, the guys that advertise on the show, or some lady named Lynn Beavers is my other realtor. Because I didn't know that. I mean, it seems so out of my realm to be in a house that much money.
Yeah.
But it was a lot less than that. And then we put over $1 million into it.
Oh, really?
It takes money to make money. Because you think about just Jeff Lewis and Bonaducci's house. You just got to have the deposit that's that much money. And then the million to put in. And then you make a million in, 6 months?
Well,
maybe
if you can do it.
Here's the thing. Moved forward in my real estate ventures, I realized at a certain point you could buy all the, and again, this is Southern California, things are inflated, and you who are living in Utah and listening via podcast right now, you would never stop vomiting if you saw what $500,000 or $600,000 buys you in Southern California.
You would
leave a trail of vomit all the way back to Provo.
But you could have a small condo that's nice. If you're asking for a home in the armpit of the valley,
it's
800
dump.
Square feet.
Yeah.
Right.
And
so
it's a dump.
You can buy all the $500,000 dumps you want, put $50,000 into it and see if you could get $650,000 or $700,000 back. You could do that times 10 and you've just made $1 million.
Right.
It took 5 years and your hair fell out.
Right.
Or you could get together $3 million, and you don't have to get the $3 million. You just do it on a $3 million house and make yourself $1 million.
Right. That's the way you go.
That's
you go up.
The way to do it.
If you have the capital, you can.
If you have the capital, that's right. Takes money to make money. Yeah. All right, T.
Yep.
Wow. You know how you earn your money, baby doll?
Doing the news.
I was going to say, give me a warm up, but all right, let's do the news.
I love that kind of warm up either.
T's the news. We'll come back and do it, not give it short shrift. What do you got?
We're going to talk about America's most famous pedophile at the moment.
Yes.
And also, that guy who was busted by 1-800-Flowers sending the receipt to his wife.
I think we have both those. And should we get the CNN? Yeah. I saw this guy
this morning, too.
He was very casual in this conversation. And what I would consider a slap in the face to our gay brethren when he was being interviewed as well. I'll tease it a little bit, but when you hear it, you should be offended if you're gay. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
We'll do that next in the news.
This season of Hell's Kitchen may be over.
And we have the same main cause. He's like, get up!
But this fall,
it's really going to heat up.
I am here, and I am glad to be here.
The producers of Hell's Kitchen and Road Trip with Huell Howser present...
What is it?
Fish tacos.
Huell's Kitchen.
It is just crap.
They were great.
It's really gonna cook.
Just stop. Stop!
Huell's Kitchen.
Take your jacket off and get out.
Well, after a great lunch, I've taken a hike.
This fall on Fox. Get fired up.
Get you on the stove!
For Huell's Kitchen.
It is hot, hot, hot.
Good times. Huell. We'll do a little news with Teresa Strasser.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Jack McClellan is a 45-year-old man. He's unemployed. He lives out of his car. And he created a website in Washington, where he had been living, where he posted photos of children he had taken in public places. He liked to discuss how he would stake out parks, public libraries, fast food restaurants, and other areas where LGs, or little girls, congregate.
Mm-hmm.
His server took his website down over a month ago. And he said in an interview a few weeks ago that he wasn't sure whether he would try to pick it back up. Well, he moved from Washington to Los Angeles. And yesterday, he was arrested in Southern California, right here. Mm-hmm. What he did was he went over to the campus of UCLA, according to campus police. And he was arrested for getting too close to the university's infant development program, which provides on-site care for children 3 months to 3 years old. And obviously, this is in violation of a restraining order that asked him not to loiter or congregate within 30 feet of minors.
Uh-huh.
He was released.
To be also... There are a lot of Asian students there that are 9 and 10 years of age.
He can't tell.
They've skipped 11 grades.
Right, sure.
Right.
They're guys who, you know, they're on like cello scholarships who went right from the second grade to their junior year of college.
I went from the second grade to the third grade on a cello scholarship.
You went on a cello scholarship?
Yeah, there's always room for cello.
Well, McClellan was...
Hold on.
No, keep going.
Okay.
That's all right. I guess.
The rim shot comes later.
It's coming.
20 or 30 minutes. He was released and scheduled to appear in court September 13th. So Jack McClellan is again free. There you go. Now, he's saying that he's attracted to young girls, but that he does not touch them.
Mm-hmm.
That is his contention.
Healthy. Perfectly normal. Perfectly healthy. Do we have the clip?
I believe we do.
Oh, let's hear it.
It's an honest mistake. I had been on the campus for a couple hours before that at other places. I didn't go right to that spot because I'm not familiar with the campus. I don't go to school there. Honestly, I didn't know it was there. The reason I was on UCLA was because I didn't think there would be virtually any minors there, and I thought I could kind of blend in as a student.
Are you attracted to children?
Yeah, sure. I'm girls. I mean, I've admitted that many times.
It's not gay.
I've never done anything
criminal.
Listen.
What you did today, though, why should you be allowed to walk around freely?
Well, that wasn't my decision. That was the decision at the police department, and they just decided it wasn't that brave.
Listen, he likes 4-year-old girls. He's no weirdo. He's not into dudes.
Girls.
Come on now.
My version of that is looking at Gretchen when she finds any foreign substance and saying, it's not like it's heroin.
Yeah, I like the ladies.
I take it you're a virgin.
The ladies with no pubes and no breasts, but the ladies. You know what I'm saying?
Right. He does distinguish.
There ain't no gay.
No, God, no.
You kidding? You think I want to risk going to hell? Please. Give me a break. Hey, Dad, if you're out there, remember, not gay.
Not gay, Dad.
Jack McClellan, who's not gay...
He likes the ladies.
Likes the ladies or the girls. LGs.
Come
he likes
on.
The LGs. He lives on supplemental security income. Believe
Which
that means.
Which means I pay.
That's right.
So he can masturbate in his car all day.
That makes you mad.
Or at UCLA, wherever he chooses to go. He suffers from depression, and he maintains that he launched that site as a form of therapy so that he wouldn't do anything illegal.
Do you know what being rejected by a 4-year-old will do to a man's ego? Of course he's depressed.
That's hard.
Yeah.
You know, when she picks the hippity hop instead of your hippity hop, you know, you're bound to feel bad about yourself.
Once she was done eating the bracelet I got her, it was all over. It was all, that's was the beginning of the end.
How can you ask for the ring back when she sucked it all the way down, all the candy's gone?
When you give a girl a strawberry shortcake doll and she walks away, painful.
Well, look, we got a little problem with society, which is back in the day, we didn't even have any kind of supplemental government, whatever. Here was the government, your family.
Yeah.
You couldn't cut it. You couldn't hack it in the real world.
Yeah.
You had to go back home and you sat on the sofa until your mom and dad got tired of looking at you sit on the sofa. And then your dad actually handed you an axe and said, go out and chop some firewood. And eventually you got out of your depression, or you didn't. Either way, you were living at your folks' house. I don't care if you were, you know, 20 or 55. You couldn't cut it. You went to the kinfolk, and that's the way it worked. Well, we don't have that anymore. The government has become your parents.
Right.
Now, here's the very dangerous combination we have. We have the supplemental income. We have the, we're going to keep you afloat because you're depressed.
Because you're sad.
Not because you fell off scaffolding and had a piece of rebar go through your spine, but because you just don't feel like you can cut it. You're depressed. So we'll give you $800 a month, and you now have the internet.
Yeah.
You see, my mom got whatever the equivalent of $800 was a month.
Right.
She didn't have a color TV. She had to stare at the wall until eventually she went nuts, and eventually she got up and left the house.
How should I know?
Wow.
You give me the internet and tell me I don't have to leave the house? My pants ain't ever coming up again.
Right. I got to give him on that. That's totally true. I can't find internet porn. I don't know how to do it because I won't give my credit card to a porn site. I just don't trust it. But when I go buy a porn and it goes to that thing where it says you can select chapters, you don't have to watch the movie, I don't have to leave the house for days at a time.
Why leave the house? The world is coming into you.
Yeah.
You want to go watch yourself a little internet porn, something out of Asia, something out of Germany? Go ahead. You want to catch up on sports? Go to go to the website and catch up about sports. Go catch up about the day of the news and then back to the porn again.
Yeah.
You never have. And then you have your virtual friends. You have all your friends out there. So now no one's leaving the effing house. And they're fine. It's like what we talked about. It's like timeouts. Used to be you locked the kid in his room, he was screwed.
Now
I got locked in my room. I had 9 square feet, and I just paced up and back and forth like Pepillon, trapped in the goddamn hole. I ate a salamander. I was so out of it and gave myself a tattoo with piano wire. And then 2 hours later, I was sprung, daylight again, full beard. 9 years old, full beard.
You know, what is funny about that, because your kids are too young for you to really know how accurate you are. We can't. Getting our kids to go outside and play is punishment.
Yeah, you lock them in the room. It's just,
you get out of the house right now, and you go swing on a swing set, play in the front yard, play in the pond, whatever it is that you want to do in your $6 million. And it's punishment, because they've got the internet, they've got the TV.
Right.
But the internet's the thing. The TV is so yesterday.
You can't lock a kid in the room anymore. And you can't lock a pedophile in his van anymore. This guy's, well, there you go. He's getting government assistance, and he's using his spare time to make himself a website.
Well, I would argue
about meeting underage girls.
Right. I would argue that as he is living in his car, that the internet he's using is courtesy of the place where the books go.
Oh, that house where they hide the books?
The library. What? Library.
The library. I would argue.
Why doesn't it have the word book in it?
It is confusing.
It has the word lie in it.
Yes.
I would argue that not only is he getting government assistance to pay for all of this, but he's probably using government resources.
Right. This is how the world now works. We all go to work. We can no longer hang out at the garage with the books. One more time, T?
Library.
Library. We can't hang out at that place. Why? We're working.
Yeah.
We can't send our kids to public schools anymore because too many folks have come here from other countries that don't put an emphasis on education and decide to crap out a whole S-load of kids that have ruined the schools. So you can't use the schools, you can't use the libraries, you can't use anything. You're out working, but we've paved the way for those who don't feel like working or who feel like crapping out kids and can't afford it. They get to use everything. This is fine to a certain point, but if we keep going this direction, Where do you think we'll be in 100 years?
Oh, not a good spot.
I will say this. In the rivalry between USC and UCLA, I think USC now has something on UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
The pedophile decided to go Bruin.
That's right.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Hey, by the way, I have one quick question.
Sure.
For Adam or you, whoever knows this one. Guy comes up to me the other day, says, oh, my God, you're Danny Bonaduce. You're right on. I play for USC.
Uh-huh.
Now, what does that necessarily mean? I said it automatically with that level of pride, meaning he plays football.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, am I right?
He played.
He just got a huge black dude. He came up and he went, hey, you're Danny Bonaduce, so-and-so. I play for USC.
He's probably not on the crew team.
I don't think he does the
asking.
Rhythmic gymnastics.
So, but he could have been a football player, right? He wasn't.
Sure.
He could have
been,
yes. 6'8".
We're assuming he was a football player.
That's what I'm assuming, but I'm assuming because he said, I'm with you, I play for USC with such pride. That's what I'm going with. Is it the football team that they're known for the best?
They have very good sports programs for many things.
Yeah.
The baseball team used to be really good. I'm not sure if they still are. Shut up, Bolt, Brian. I don't want to hear what you have to. I don't want all the stats about the team.
I was just curious.
But the football team is ranked number one in the AP number one polling, which doesn't mean they're going to finish that way at the end of the year. But yes, they've been very good for the last few years and traditionally have been very good.
And there are very few pedophiles wandering over there that I know of. Now,
yeah, although I don't trust that Tommy Trojan guy.
He does seem like he's up to no good, doesn't he?
He's wearing a brass mini skirt.
He's asking for it.
He is asking.
You can be funny without making fun of someone else.
No, he's Grace Jones, dude. If he's wearing a brass miniskirt, he's Grace Jones.
Well, someone who's not having fun is Leroy Greer of Texas.
How dare you?
Earlier this year, he was having an affair, and he wanted to send his mistress a dozen roses and a stuffed animal. We talked about this earlier. He used 1-800-Flowers to do so. When he talked with customer service at 1-800-Flowers, he specifically said, let's keep this whole transaction between us and make sure not to send a receipt to the home or office. Well, 1-800-Flowers ignored him, and a few months later, they sent a thank you card to his home. Leroy's wife found the card, called 1-800-Flowers to ask who got the gifts because it sure as heck was not her.
Mm-hmm.
They gladly faxed her Leroy's order. Well, now he is suing because, of course, the order read, just wanted to say I love you and you mean the world to me, Leroy.
Let me give you something that I do.
Yes.
Whenever I send my mistress flowers, I always send my wife flowers. Just do it at the same time. You pick up the phone, you're going to spend $11 sending some roses somewhere. Go ahead and spend another $11. It'll be the best $11 you ever spend.
And put my deer.
Right.
Just put my deer and send them both ways. There'll never be any who got what, when, and why, and follow-up or anything like that. And by the way, you know, ladies, you're constantly complaining about guys not giving you flowers just because. But whenever they do those who's been cheating lists,
right
beneath working out, is sending flowers because.
Just because.
So I don't want to send flowers just because you're thinking I'm cheating.
Right.
There you go, baby.
We had that. I'll give you an idea of how accurate you are. Mm-hmm. I told this story not too long ago. What, for the brief window of time I was single, till now and I'm single again.
Mm-hmm.
I leave notes on girls' windows cards at 4 in the morning on the way to work, and they think I'm a super romantic guy. They don't know I have to come here anyway. I didn't get up at 4 for them.
Mm-hmm.
But I wrote Amy and forgot to change everybody's name. So it said to Amy on all the girls' cars. Amy got one that said Amy in a love letter. And then Linda got one that said Amy in a love letter. And then I forget the other girl, I think Debbie.
Every single car at the Burbank Costco had
but you know
they
wanted
said,
to believe it. Would you have ever believed this at all three of them? Well, all two of them because one was too Amy. But the other two girls believed this. They know I use dictation software, and it never makes spelling mistakes, but sometimes it won't write what you said. So I said, honey, they all start out the same way, baby. And they wrote Amy, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And they believed it like that.
Can't you get a robot to proofread what your dictation software does?
What? I'll bring it in someday and show it to you, because it can't misspell. So you really have to be careful. There's no mistakes on it.
Right.
So the first time I really noticed it, because I got a call, and the woman was luckily laughing because she was a very powerful casting agent for a show I wanted to do. And in a picture, her stationery has a picture, and she's wearing a hat. And I wrote, and by the way, that's a very nice hat. And it came out, by the way, you have a very tight ass.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't make a spelling mistake. So I proofread and sent it off to her. And she now thinks she has a tight ass.
But well, part of the proofreading process is, well, you know what I'm saying, T.
Yeah.
You got to go to that place where they hide the...
Library.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, Leroy Greer.
Hold on a second.
A dictionary would not have helped.
We need to take ourselves a break because I want to hear the rest of this 800-flower story. And I want to hear about Van Halen going back on tour. And I want to hear about the guy who crashed his $400,000 car. I think it was a Lamborghini Murcielago.
Yes. I was going to ask you how to pronounce it. Now I know.
It's probably not 400 grand, but it's... 350.
Right.
And the chick OD'd on coffee.
Yeah, dangerous, apparently.
Yeah, douche man.
Yeah,
flirting.
Cautionary tale.
I drank actual because I don't have any big cups. I used a breakfast bowl of cereal, a bowl, to drink my coffee this morning. It still went back to bed.
Wow.
I don't have any cups.
Gotta get yourself a cup.
I'm not going to stay at corporate house. It's $4,000 a month at Palazzo for a one-bedroom furnished.
They don't throw in cups for $4,000?
No, they throw in cups and silverware and all that stuff for an extra $250 a month.
Jesus Christ.
I'm going to paper cups. I'm only going to be here a little while. How did I know?
Let's take a break. We'll finish up the news next.
Been hearing a lot about this slapstick that Ozzy is coming up with. And I've seen it on your TV show. I've heard about it on the radio show. How about a whole thing with Ozzy giving up the freaking recipe? Would love to hear that.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser on The Adam Carolla Show.
Well, even if Ozzy gave it up, there's no way you could understand it.
Well, you could, but only you.
But you know what? Just because you get the recipe, sometimes it's the guy making it. No matter what the ingredients say, if he says, I swear to God, I use an exact teaspoon of this, and you use an exact teaspoon of that, it still may not taste like Ozzy's.
No, it is. That is definitely true. It's made with Nicaraguan love.
Yeah.
And a little,
I got some of that.
Little
of
Ozzy's secret sauce.
I thought I brought some of that home once I had the Nicaraguan love.
Yeah, so that's what the chimichurri is. Last thing I said before I went to the doctor for pink eye.
And not on your face.
The beauty of Ozzy's recipe is anyone can go get themselves a cut of Kobe beef and not screw it up. Ozzy goes to the Mexican butcher. Ozzy goes to the butcher that you pass by and think, who the F is going into that butcher? It's where there's a drawing of a cow wearing a top hat and a monocle, and it's chasing Mrs. Pig with an axe. You see, the Mexicans think it's funny.
Yep. Right.
They're simple people. They enjoy they enjoy life, and they enjoy, they have a nice sense of humor. Maybe that's just their way of saying, why'd he stay out? Gringo, go home.
Yeah, they make it look uncomfortable for you, but really there's like a Gelson's in that supermarket.
Who knows? There's not a white person alive that would set foot in a butcher. See, we call cow, we call it beef, we call pig pork. We don't like to think of it as a creature. We like to think of it as meat.
And
they dress them up. They literally have drawings, paintings out front of cows and pigs dressed as cheerleaders, and the mayor of the city is a calf, and he's going to be made into chops. And Ozzy goes into that place, spends $2 a pound for the cheapest flap steak on the planet, and makes it into the most delectable beef you've ever had in your life. That's an accomplishment.
The other thing for gringos is that the Mexicans, or now I've got to learn to use the word Hispanic because I didn't want to. But I only knew Mexicans. But Ozzy's Nicaraguan, and I know Hondurans now. So the Hispanic people don't waste. So you go to the butcher shop, there's pig face.
Oh, yeah.
You look at a pig, and it's still his face looking right at you. There's no hiding what it used to be.
That's a Thanksgiving centerpiece, by the way.
That's exactly right.
Centerpiece. T.
Yes.
The news.
Remember when we were talking about the 1-800-Flowers guy?
Yeah, last year. I remember that story.
He's suing for $1 million in damages for their breach of contract action, which outed him as an adulterer. He's also saying that he's had to endure mental anguish. So he and his lawyer went on the Today Show yesterday, and Meredith Vieira grilled Mr. Greer about his actions and his lawsuit.
But Mr. Greer, you cheated on your wife, sir. Didn't you sort of bring this on yourself?
No, and like I told your analyst on yesterday, no, I didn't. I wasn't cheating. No, at the time that this happened, that the roses were sent, we weren't even together. We was in the midst of a divorce that we tried to later on reconcile.
They were on a break, as they'd say on Friends.
But you know what, though? Then they didn't do him any harm.
Definitely not a Jew.
Yeah.
His wife filed for divorce after this.
He has two arguments to make. One is, we were not together during the time, in which case you don't have much of a lawsuit. But you want to say, so people don't think you're a pariah.
Yeah.
Right. The truth is, I'm sure his wife thought they were still together.
Yes. Yeah. I recently learned this about breaks. Sometimes they're not bilateral.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And you need a contract drawn up for that.
And I recently learned this. If you cheat on your wife, she'll be really mad at you unless she can sell a reality show about it. Then she's fine.
Mm-hmm. Are you saying Gretchen is selling a reality show about your guys' divorce?
That whole thing with the therapist and my affair was her idea. That was her. She wrote
that
show.
Oh, you mean Breaking Bonaduce?
Uh-huh. She wrote that about the affair.
Yes, but I would watch every week and hope that you guys would work it out.
I'm still watching today hoping we'll work it out.
Well,
she's got a $6 million house.
You know who finally worked it out?
Hmm.
The good people of Van Halen.
Hmm. I'm stoked.
For now, at least. The Van Halen reunion is back on. You remember Eddie took a little time out for himself, about 28 days.
Who's going to cover for Roth on the radio?
I think he's not on it.
What?
Yeah.
No, wait a minute. I work for this company.
I know. Apparently it didn't work out. I know. But if you'd like to hear from him.
You know why Brian's playing this?
Yes. I do, as a matter of fact. I've been working with you long enough that I know this story.
I'm in.
I decided to take the day off construction when I was 20. Me and the Wees decided to smoke a little weed and play with our rabbits and slot cars.
Cat.
Not the kind of rabbit that my girlfriend has.
No. This was a real rabbit. Two of them. Donnie and I were raising in our living room of our apartment.
Names?
Don't remember.
I remember the cat.
It was just my rabbits. Yeah, the
Wilshire?
Cat. No. Although
Norman.
No, Norman was my cat. Wilshire was my buddy Todd's cat, who Ray accused of killing and tried to then bite Ray and stab Ray for saying that about his cat. And this cat was called Max.
Right.
Okay.
That's right.
And
Max the cat loved to chase the rabbits around because it was a little kitten.
Oh.
And I bought these speakers from a guy in a van in a parking lot, and we brought him home, decided to smoke some weed and give him a dry run.
Why not?
And Donnie put this CD in, and we decided to see what these babies could do. And it was noon on a Monday, and we cranked it up. And I heard pounding on the door. And I didn't hear it. I just felt the vibration of it. The music was so loud that I could hear it. And it was Jim, our gay landlord, 50-year-old guy in braces. I bounced the check.
Aww.
Now, Jim had never been to our apartment before. Been 2 years.
You mean braces on his teeth, not leg braces.
Braces on his teeth, sorry. He'd never been to our apartment before. So in his mind, this was every Monday at noon.
Right.
He opened the door. He saw the smoking bong, the slot car track.
Bunnies.
Do not exaggerate. I'll show you a videotape of the bunnies being chased by the cat with the bunny poop everywhere, though you can sweep it up. It's hockey puck hard. Nice bong in the center in the infield of the slot car track. And me and Donnie and Chris all standing around in bathrobes. Sighs a kite. Chris ran and hid in the bedroom. He was so ashamed that he actually ran, and Donnie hid too, but I was left to deal with old Jim. Cut him a second check, which bounced. And all he could say, he said two things. He said, A, I heard the music when I got out of my car down the street. You guys are on the second floor, and you're on Laurel Canyon. And secondly, he just kept shaking his head, saying, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. That's all he would say. And then I bounced that check. Thank God the guy was gay and probably in love with Donnie.
Ooh.
That's all I can say because he was a tasty little morsel when he was in his
20s. Right. Well, maybe it would be nostalgic for you to go see Van Halen in their new incarnation.
Yes.
They're touring with Eddie Van Halen's 16-year-old son, Wolfgang.
Mm-hmm.
He's replacing Michael Anthony. And here, David Lee Roth talks about the new incarnation and insists it's sort of a whole new band.
This is not a reunion. This is a new band. This is a revision with hits that you're so familiar with. It's as familiar as the roof of your own mouth is to you. But the ambition has nothing to do with old history. Usually when a band comes back like us, it's rockers with walkers. And this is everything but. Meet us in the future, not the pasture.
Get it?
Okay. By the way,
turning into Ted Nugent, by the way.
They're merging.
And I think we're safe to say it now because the distance gone open, Anthony, are doing well. Do you remember the disaster that he was on the radio?
I never heard him.
I just remember hearing stories.
And they didn't even have a conversation, as I understand it. They just wrote him a huge check to get out of the building. And what I believe happened is he walked into a room while people were discussing what the hell do we do about Howard Stern when he leaves, we're ruined. David Lee Roth walked in, walked up to the table, told some story like that, and walked off. Light bulb went off over some executive's head. Went, that rocker was stories like that? Did you hear that? He's great. Then they put him on the radio. Turns out he not only has serious political beliefs, but they're not from this planet.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened. Because he tells a quick story. That was pretty good. That was the last time he was clever.
Right.
Yeah. So he's much better off.
The future, not the pasture. That's good stuff.
Well, it's also old, but
it's great. It's great stuff. Because bands. Oh, wait a minute. Nah, there's no correlation there. But here's the thing. You guys are getting together because we like your old band.
Right.
We don't want the new incarnation of Spinal Tap doing jazz fusion. We want you to play Hell Hole and Big Bottoms.
Right.
Play the Van Halen hits and shut up. He's such a colossal blowhard. And now we got trouble because, A, we have blowhard meeting insane.
Yeah.
He's going insane, and he's a blowhard, and he's getting old, so he's overcompensating all the time. He's going to drive everyone insane. He's going to have to go on tour like they transported Hannibal Lecter in Silence of the Lambs. They're going to strap him to a refrigerator, darling, put a hockey mask on him so him and Eddie can get on the same plane.
Right.
You make a good point, because the trifecta of blowhard, insane, and old is very rare. I can only think of Bette Davis.
Mm-hmm.
She started to go nuts.
And newly sober.
Ah. Bette Davis is sober?
Well, she's no longer with us, but...
Well, then yes.
All right. And evidently she is sober.
Then, you know what? That's one way to get
sober. Someone go drop a cake off on her grave.
Here's your chip. Do we have to go to break?
Nah, give me one more.
Okay, let's talk about this Lamborghini.
Mm-hmm.
Got destroyed last Wednesday. A 39-year-old in Florida, your favorite state. He bought his dream car.
Oh, and that wrestler who died at 43, shockingly lived in Florida. Is there a law that all a-holes and all rich guys who don't know how to spend their money need to move to Florida? Every wrestler lives in Florida. Every time you hear about a guy who has a profession that's a little bit... How's that work? He lives in Florida.
Uh-huh. It's true. Well,
this, there's still down there, right?
Guy says, like, yeah, when a guy says, when you say to a guy, you meet that guy at a party, you go, what do you do? And he goes, I import exotic pets. And you go, oh, where do you live? It's going to be Florida. Whenever the guy's in import, exporting, but it's something that seems, it's not quite illegal, but it's certainly dicey and maybe a little bit shady. Florida. So this guy gets himself a Lamborghini.
That's Murcielago. Now, the Orlando Sentinel's reporting that it's worth about $400,000.
Adam. Well, whenever they do this with the cars, they round up all the time. It's a better story.
Yeah.
The car, I don't know if he bought it brand new or if it was a couple years old, but you could probably pick his car up for $250, $275.
Bright yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's his dream car, and he's had it 2 days.
Definitely not a Jew.
He's driving, and he's drinking. He's driving.
Definitely not a Jew.
He takes a curve, loses control of the Murcielago, skids about 1,200 feet, crashes the car, ironically enough, into a speed limit 65 sign on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Arrested for DUI and leaving the scene of an accident. He was not injured, but his wife, who was with him in the car, had a minor arm injury.
Mm-hmm.
And,
from punching him.
For buying the car or for crashing the car?
I saw the car. I don't know if it's totaled, but... When you take a car like that and you do some damage to it, it's $80,000. Just a little bit of damage. Yeah. Bitchin' car, though.
It's a nice car, yeah.
V12, mid-engine.
I wouldn't recognize it by name. Is it the hot Lamborghini I've seen around, or is it a...
They got the big one and they got the little one. The baby one's only 200 grand. Does That's look, a V10. It's called a Gallardo.
Does it look anything like the new, which is the retro version of, but brand new, that new Ford GT? Is it that kind of shape?
It's got that vibe to
it. Yeah, okay, I know what you're talking about.
Mid-engine, except for I think it's like a 6 liter and it's got like 530 horsepower or something like that. And look, shut up all you haters out there. 530, who needs anything? Who needs hair extensions? Who needs fake eyelashes? Who needs heels? Who needs a pet?
Absolutely.
Who needs a wristwatch that's above a Timex? Who needs anything? Who needs to fly first class? Who needs? I need! Now, what are you going to do about it? T?
I'm going to celebrate it.
That's right,
I'm
going to
do. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
I'm trying to get on my internet and find out what I could pick that car up for, but see if you can find...
You mean the box that has the porn?
Yeah. They have those porn boxes at the garages where they hide the books, right?
The library.
Oh, don't lie. You don't know where they keep the books, but you know where the cars and the porn are, mister.
I'm trying to figure it out. Yeah, now I think he may have had a spider convertible or whatever, T-top, whatever it was.
The first thing I found here, MSRP for 2007 is between 313 and 345.
Right.
That's a new...
That's 07. He could have been in an 05 that had 4,000 miles on it. And point is they always round up. They're the news, by the way. When you do the news, is that the way you're supposed to do it? Like, hey, a train crashed in Kuala Lumpur. How many people died? 86. Make it 100. I think it's you know, people don't remember 86. Doesn't sound like much, but if you go 100, is that what you do when you're the news? You just get to kind of round up.
That's how I learned in journalism school.
Really? Because it's to call it a $350,000 car would be much more accurate.
Right. True that, peeps.
You are off 20% or whatever it is of the price of the car. It's just not great journalism. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. When we come back, let's see. Gay walking? Let's do gay walking.
All right, I got 20.
I want to do gay walking. We sent Bill out. He talked to some gay folks. He asked them straight questions. Let's do a little tease. No answers yet, but a tease. We'll answer it when we come back. Here we go.
Which athlete was named the Bambino?
Interesting. All right, we'll take a quick break. Gay walking next.
We send pre-op, board-op Bill out to the L.A. Convention Center for the Gay Expo to find out if gay people know the stuff that the rest of us know. It's another round of gay walking on the Adam Carolla Show.
I've been taken to the gay bathhouse on the gay walking the last three or four installments. Ass kicked by Teresa Strasser, not because she's better,
no,
because she's luckier.
It is a game of luck.
We've tied it up.
I disagree, and I've lost. I think it's a game of skill. I think you should be able to tell. Adam should be able to tell. If you're going to be stereotypical, Adam should be able to win because it should mostly be the antithesis of him. I should be able to win because aside from an actual sexual act with a man, everything else about me is gay. The way I dress, the things I think are fun. You live in gay world.
Yeah.
So everybody here has a reason to win, and it's not luck.
Well, she was, pardon the pun, reared in gay
world.
In the gay world. In the gay cradle of civilization. The cradle. The gaydle. She was born in the gaydle of gay civilization.
That's where you put a thin rope around a gay guy and pull real hard.
The
gaydle, with gaydle, we'll play.
They don't tie strings around.
Definitely not
dreidels,
a Jew.
Daniel.
You just spin the dreidel.
Like a top?
Too cheap to buy the string.
Yeah.
Look, I'm just reporting.
The news,
I'm
not,
I've heard
it
from my Jewish friends.
I don't even spin it with my fingers. I use my nose.
You're gay.
Let's play some games.
Sometimes my prehensile tail. Am I first?
How about your cloven hooves?
Give me a break.
Let me take off my hat, show you my horns.
Where was we?
I was winning money off you.
That's right. That's what the Jews do. They take money from the Gentiles, the hardworking, industrious Gentiles.
If we're all going to go with what we are, I'm Italian. Therefore, I'm too lazy to make money. So you're really taking money right out of my hand.
But you should be in for a taste of whatever tea gets.
No, there's a guy outside getting my vig.
Yeah, it's like Italians are lazy, but not so lazy that they don't want to wet their beak on whatever any, you know,
hard-working
look,
person
you
makes.
Empty the garbage, you stack the bricks, you build the skyscrapers, and just give us a taste.
Right.
We'll do it from this
Although
folding
usually
chair.
Usually the Italians own the disposal business.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the East Coast and you have private trash collectors, you're dealing with the mob almost always.
Good times. All right. Well, let's first put pre-op, board-op Bill on the blower because you were at the Gay Expo this time?
Yeah, the Gay Sex Expo or Erotic Expo.
He's gay!
I'm hosting that in San Francisco.
Really? Well, they show porn on the ceiling, so hardcore porn. Uncensored on the ceiling, so you walk around, you can look at other men's flies and see what they're packing while they're looking at the ceiling.
What? Good time. Where was this?
This was at the LA Convention Center, right next to the Marriage Expo, which was going on the next door over.
Mm.
The Filipino Americans had another something going on in the other door. The Mexican American Man Awards were going on just up the stairs from us.
Really?
Yeah, it was a good time.
And I got the 21 leaf blower salute going for the guy. Villaraigosa won it 3 years running.
Sometimes when they're too good to have.
So, listen, it's a sign of high praise for those people. I can't judge. I don't judge. I refuse to. You guys were showing gay porn on the ceiling of the convention center?
Absolutely. Uncensored.
I disapprove.
I'm not hosting the gay one. I'm hosting a thing called the Exotic Erotic Ball in San Francisco.
Yeah, that's a huge deal.
How do you disapprove?
Here, look. Let's put it this way. I don't think I could show big jug porn on the roof of that thing. I think if I said to the people who own the Los Angeles Exposition or the convention center. I don't think I could say to them, hey, I got a bunch of guys. We love big jug porn. We're going to come on down and we're going to be showing XXX uncut big jug porn on the scene the whole time. I think they'd say, no, you can't do that.
But because you're gay?
I think if you say, hey, you're gay, pack your fudge and get out of here.
You're in trouble.
It's like, okay, now you're discriminating.
Right.
You see?
It's like saying we're going to show a movie with we're going to show Roots. I don't want all those black people on the roof of this. You get out. You can't do that.
It was the last thing the security guards wanted to look at anyway.
It's a decent point.
Yeah.
I've seen gay porn, though. It's actually, for the moments that I've seen it, fascinating.
Well, I have a straight girlfriend, and that's exclusively what she watches when it comes to porn. Just hardcore male gay porn.
It's weird. It's more of a curiosity. In those booths, like on 42nd Street in New York, when they used to have the really good ones with 60 channels, and just hit a button, and it would change it. Like, remember those tests with the monkeys and cocaine, and they hit a button until they OD'd and died?
Right.
Okay, well, it's like that. You sit in the booth, you put in your money, and you can just hit a button. It's got 60 different channels,
right.
And you're seeing everything from animals to this to that to gay porn, and you stop for a second because you see naked flesh, and you look, and gay guys work harder at sex than we do.
Mm.
They're doing tricks like I couldn't believe. It's like, do you have to be in Cirque du Soleil to be gay now?
Mm.
This is some limber boys.
Dual income, dual outcome. That's what I say.
That's two in a row, bastard.
They're hardworking people.
Can you do me a favor? Not be this funny on a damn night.
Oh, please. You're embarrassing me, Bonaducci. I would never take that away from the gay men, but the hardcore gay porn, as I've said many times, makes straight men violently ill. And yeah. I just, it's a premise that I floated before, but I'm going to float it again. Men, straight men, everyone likes to think straight men are uptight. We're not uptight. We have a built-in visceral reaction to gay porn. We can't look. You know how women are about things happening to pets or puppies or kids?
Right.
You know when you see a woman watching television on the Lifetime channel and there's some dog that got hit by a car and the women are like, oh, I can't watch. That's how guys are with gay porn. When we see graphic gay porn, we have to look down.
Absolutely.
We have to hold our hands up. It makes us want to vomit.
And it's not because
we hate gays.
Right. That's the truth.
That's how guys are built.
It's not that we're, it's not like we know we can't look because we don't want you to catch us looking at gay porn. It's really we can't.
Wait, so you feel sorry for the men's privates much like women feel sorry for the hurt dog.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That guy's ass just got ran over by an 18-wheeler.
Yeah, they don't call, like a dog.
By a 6.5-wheeler.
They don't call it doggy style for nothing.
How about some gay walking?
Hold on a second. Hold on. I just want to make this point. for the amount of, and they call it homophobic, but it's not. We physically.
I thought they called it puppy love.
We can't physically watch that. Considering every straight male on the planet gets violently ill when he sees graphic gay sex, there should be more gay bashing.
Well, I'll tell you what, Adam.
There should be more.
I'm taking off my pants.
There's his monster.
The more you know. Well, no, wait a second.
Yeah, I agree with
you. To be honest, 100% of straight guys, when they see graphic gay porn, go, oh, my God, that's disgusting. I can't believe it. I can't look. How could someone do that to another dude? I would never let. Okay, that's what 100% of straight guys.
Right.
What percent of guys gay bash?
Right.
Way less than 1%.
Right.
Obviously.
Physically bash? Way
yeah, physically,
1%.
Way less than 1%.
I mean,
so you
say
have
the F word, but you mean hurt someone?
Any,
gay.
Yeah,
almost
any,
no one.
Any time. I mean, could you imagine? Let's just do it with another race. Let's go black. Let's just say 100% of male white males hated black, despised them, couldn't stand to look at them. But yet, there was almost no incidents of hate crimes. Wouldn't you say that was kind of? Wouldn't that be interesting, at least?
I see your point.
All right,
but
so we're doing pretty good.
It's not that you hate gays, just that their sex is viscerally
We are disturbed by
out of everybody
and
in this
anything
room,
that we get disturbed by, we want to punch.
Right.
Out of everybody in this room, aside from the one time I snuck in to pay your dinner date bill because I thought that'd be cute, out of everybody that works here, I've spent one night out on the town with one person. Gay Bill. I have nothing, but he's right. My we go out partying and dancing. It gets gayer and gayer by the drink, by the way. And but he has the best time and the nicest thing. But if you turned on gay porn, with or without Bill, I would just go, oh, my God, blind me.
Yes.
Well, here's the thing, and here's why I agree with you, Adam, because my dad couldn't be a more liberal guy. In fact, if I call him liberal, he gets angry and says, no, I'm a radical. He's done jail for protesting U.S. intervention in El Salvador. Just the more liberal, the most humanity-loving person. And yet, one time, we were driving through the Castro, which is the gay mecca in San Francisco where I grew up, and I remember I was so shocked because he looked out the window, and there was two guys making out, and one of them had, like, the assless chaps, and he went. And he goes, ugh. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, Dad, those are just two people who are clearly...
school teachers.
They're just in love.
That's the way San Francisco works. Yeah, one of them was the mayor. He was kissing the school teacher.
And I gave
him a lecture. He was disgusted.
I said, Dad, come on. You're being a jerk.
No.
He's like, ah, I can't look at it.
He's the world's most liberal, open-minded guy. But when he sees a guy with a handlebar mustache and an assless chaps making out with another dude, he gets viscerally disgusted.
How did you feel?
I was disappointed because
about the gay men and chaps.
That doesn't bother me what they do. I don't care.
I'm glad that you said that because any good Harley Davidson owner has chaps.
I have
chaps.
Assless.
All chaps are assless.
Danny makes
otherwise
a very valid point.
He didn't
point.
Have jeans under them.
Although I don't know what it is.
So what I'm saying is I'm going to wear them to work tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
And see how open-minded Teresa really is or miss a lot of crap.
You're going to wear them with no pants under?
I'll wear a thong and I'll kiss Bill right on his mouth right next to you
move on.
And see how you act.
It doesn't.
I'm open-minded, but close behind it.
Thank
that's,
you.
What Thank I'm, you. That's the plank I'm running on in my platform. Open-minded, close behind it. That's what I want to say. I love the gays, not one myself.
Right.
Kill myself, my son went that way. But I love the gays, open-minded. Close behind it. All right, wait a minute. We're not going to get to gay walking this break.
Why don't we take a 5-minute break?
I want to know something. I want to know about your friend, your female friend.
She's not a
named
close friend.
Teresa, possibly?
No. I don't enjoy the...
Who watches the male gay porn?
She exclusively gets turned on by hardcore gay male
porn. Now, that's the kind of math that men could easily do if we were the same as women.
Right.
See, for men, it's like, all right, well, she likes to see an erect penis. There's two of them.
Right.
Go sick, baby girl. But there's something that's off with that.
And this girl's very pretty.
Ooh.
Very
pretty.
Well, when I'm wearing my chaps, you bring her by. Because I'm single.
Is her name Cerisa Trosser?
I said pretty.
Oh, yeah. Should have known. We'll take a... all right. Let's take a break. We got gay walking to do. But I kind of want to hear about this friend as well.
All right.
Well, chicks are always
really hot.
I mean, really hot. Super makes her living being hot. That's all I can say. Yeah.
Do you agree with me that most chicks are two drinks away from a girl on girl experience anyway?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I think there are other women who enjoy watching man on man porn.
Well, I'm sure
all right. I'm gonna bump gay walking for 1 second and say that if you watch gay porn as a straight guy, or if you watch gay porn as a girl, and especially a girl, I want to know because this sounds bizarre to me. Okay. I've never heard of a woman who wanted to watch gay porn.
I think you may have just complicated that. Is what you're asking for is if you watch gay porn, you want them to call. So the girl-boy thing doesn't matter? If you watch exclusively gay porn, you want to hear from them?
I don't want to hear from gays who watch gay porn.
If you're a straight boy or girl?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. If you're a straight boy or girl and you watch exclusively gay porn, Adam would like to talk to you
Think you can be a straight guy and watch gay porn. But if you want to make that argument, I'll be willing to listen. But I'm mostly looking for women who are doing something that I'm not aware of.
1-866-901-ADAM. It's gay porn Adam Carolla time.
And then we'll thank you. Put that on a loop. Then we'll do gay walking. But I want to get to this. All right, next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Shortly, we'll get into gay walking. But right now, Adam wants to know if you're a straight person who watches gay porn, give us a call and tell us what the hell is wrong with you. 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I and Dr. Drew always agreed with me. We always contended that there's no way you can be a straight dude who enjoys gay porn. You are gay and you don't know it. Your eyeballs are gay. Your brain is gay. Someone's got to tell you junk.
You talked about that the other day with the big homophobes, and they attach the things to your hoosets, and then they show you homoerotic films, and the guys that do, I was going to call it homo punching because I couldn't remember the real name. What was it called?
Gay bashing.
Gay bashing.
Homo punching is like whack-a-mole.
That's how foreign it is
to me. The idea of punching a guy because he likes other guys. I'd punch a gay guy, only because he's wearing the pants I really wanted.
They, they hook up the tumescence monitor. It's the ring they put around your, well, what I like to think of as my ultimate ring finger.
Yeah.
My penis.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm wearing a wedding band around it right now.
Are you?
Mm-hmm. It's how I pledge my love. You know, it's a circle. It represents. Point is.
Right.
They then show the guys who protest the most about the gays a little gay erotica, and the tumescence monitor does not lie. They register off the charts. Always something you should think about, and then never be surprised when the Bible-thumping priest gets caught with his hand down the kid's pants, and he's been talking about the virtues of family life the whole time and how evil a sin the gay lifestyle is. Anytime you think about something too much, you're into it. Pure and simple. Now, we were talking about gay porn. I wanted to know the ladies that watch it. Yeah. We have a bunch of good calls up here. But Teresa, your story's getting hotter by the second because the chick is hot.
She's extremely attractive.
Not one of those, you find her beautiful, but I wouldn't find her beautiful.
She's professionally beautiful. I don't want to give her away because she probably wouldn't want this in public.
Actress, model.
She's an actress.
And it's someone we may have heard of.
She's been in dozens of movies.
You would know her.
I would know her
by name, at least by sight.
Yes.
I'm thinking I probably did it with her.
No.
Danny probably did her.
She's classy.
Dude, enough alcohol and I'm hot.
She's blonde. She's young. She's also been on several very well-received television shows.
Mm.
And she just loves hardcore gay male porn. That's her thing. It's her thing.
How do you know
that? She's pretty open about it amongst her girlfriends.
I've got a question for Carolla. We all know. Because I'm thinking I'm going to end up answering differently here. Let's make you, if it'll change things, because I think I'm still the same, but then again, I've shot up straight bull testosterone, so maybe I'm over the top.
Right.
Say you're 21, 22,
mm-hmm.
and you're with the hottest girl you've ever seen, and you're still swinging a hammer at $8 an hour,
mm-hmm.
and you're with the hottest, you're with a professional model,
mm-hmm.
and if you'll sit and watch hardcore gay porn with her, she's going to get so hot, she's going to do stuff to you couldn't imagine
in
your wildest dreams. Would you watch gay porn with
her? Let me think. I would star in that gay porn if she would do stuff
so
with me.
So my friends, ladies and gentlemen, a real man.
Please.
Who admits that? Of course.
When I was 20 and swinging a hammer, hot actress model? That's right. Bring it on.
Okay, good. I'm so glad you answered like
I
that.
I met a producer down at Mr. Pfister. That's how yeah. it begins.
No, that's such an honest man's answer. When he just said yes. It makes you sick, but I would have sex with the hot model while vomiting
this
from the gay porn.
This is not uncommon because the phone lines are lighting
yes.
up with women.
And let me tell you something about the poor man's lifestyle, which was my lifestyle at the time. Your whole life is a trade-off of, I don't want to do that, but I'll do it if you give me this.
Yeah.
Right.
A guy who was my boss, who was a Vietnam vet strung out on pain meds, would yell, get under that apartment building. And I'd go, but it's dark, it's creepy, there's dead rats, there's no room. And he'd go, get under there.
Right.
And I'd say, I don't want to. And he'd say, I'll give you $10 for every hour you're under the building. And I would climb under the building.
Yeah.
I would look at the gay sex the same way for the hot supermodel. All right, Lori.
Real man.
Hold on one second. Does your friend, not
yeah.
getting too graphic,
yes.
you said she enjoys gay porn.
Exclusively.
She uses it
yes.
when she pleasures herself.
Yes. Absolutely. And only hardcore
Man.
Gay porn.
I won't change the subject, but when I'm done with this, I'll tell
some
you.
Reason.
I know. Guys
I'll tell you the
her.
Specific kind of porn that I watch, yeah. or is my favorite when we're done with this.
Okay.
Lori?
Yeah?
You,
how are you guys today?
Good. Better now.
You're
listen to you guys every morning. I laugh all the way to work.
Thank you.
Great day.
You watch hardcore gay porn, do you?
I've seen it before. I've watched it. It's very hot. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
it is.
See?
Would you?
I dated a guy one time. Of course, he was in prison, so I kind of wondered about it. But when it would get really hot, he would talk about it. And then we would talk about him getting pleasured there. It was by another man, and it was just really hot, and it just ended up great.
You know, it's a little off topic for what I have done in the past. I'm a really jealous man,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes I've been able to get off, like, really have gnarly sex while a girl is telling me about what it was like to have sex with the last guy she was with.
Mm.
I mean, they have mm-hmm. magazines for gay men that are just so erotic. You can picture yourself in the middle just sitting there, and helping or whatever, and
I can't believe you two young lovebirds didn't go on forever.
Well, he was a drinker, and he was a mean drinker.
Yeah. He was killed when one of the wheels fell off his house.
Yeah. Guy that gets a...
I want to ask Danny, why does it always have to be a hot actress? I mean, women, there's beautiful women that get into stuff like
this. Oh, dude, it was just for the alliteration of she's
okay.
so hot, she's a model. I don't care. You're talking to me. If she is relatively cute and has most of her limbs, I'm doing her.
No.
Okay? I just made the she's a fantastic looking actress to see if Adam Carolla would watch something that he knows repels him just to get the hot chick. So
well,
that's just an illustration. She doesn't have to be an actress.
Here's
she can be unconscious.
Here's the sad reality of life. If you show Teresa's hot blonde actress, nubile friend, and you say, this girl masturbates to gay erotica, you go, wow, that's hot stuff. And if you say it about, well, picture that chick at the office you never want to get too close to because she's 400 pounds and she has a goiter, and you go, and you say, this chick masturbates again, you're like, oh, please, please, I'm trying to finish my lunch. I mean, let's face it, that's the way we do it. If you're hot and you do something, it's hot. Look, if you're a hot chick, almost anything you do becomes
hot.
If you're a hot chick who works on your own car, you're hot.
Yeah.
If you're an ugly chick who works on your own car, you're skanky white trash.
Do you know, I have been accused
so
recently,
sad.
And I've started to agree, that I have a crush on an executive at the TV show I'm working with, and I think it's just because she's a powerful woman, and that makes her, really sexy to me.
Mm, but not hot looking.
She's attractive,
all
but
right.
not as attractive enough to have the interest that I have. My interest is peaked as if she was a supermodel.
Well,
she's a powerhouse.
All I got to say is if you're a hot chick, you can do no wrong. And if you're a hot chick, let me put it this way. Charlize Theron smoking a cigar, hot.
Right.
Rosie O'Donnell, Bull Dyke with a cigar in her mouth, disgusting.
Yes. She could be putting a cigar with Lewinsky and it's still not
I'll
hot.
Go you one
right.
further. Charlize Theron comes up and takes a crap on your waffle.
Delicious. Ah, waffle crapper. That's right.
I forgot that he had said that and thought you just lost your mind.
The phrase I coined that's in some sort of slang
dictionary.
Yeah, waffle
you gotta
crapper.
You got to stop yourself. I explained the what do you, recyclerola, or whatever the hell you call it, to my realtor last night. Mm. You're making too many phrases.
Yeah, I know. With no compensation. Yeah, waffle crapper means hot chick. Amanda?
Oh. Yes.
From Torrance?
Uh-huh.
You,
I love your show.
Thanks.
I listen to it every morning, and you guys are awesome.
Thank you so much.
You love looking at gay erotica, do you?
I love gay porn, and it's not just, like, the penis aspect of it. I love just seeing, like, two guys together. Like, if they kiss, or even if I see them walking down the street, I just love it.
Now, it's weird because the kissing, to me, is a greater visual violation than the penetration.
I was at a health club on Sunset Boulevard. I won't say which one. It's a very fancy one. Bill immediately applauded. It's a very fancy one. Mm-hmm. And it's known for being kind of gay, which is weird because I work out on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Oh, I know that one. 69-hour fitness.
That's the one. And it's the first time I had ever seen, like, I've seen gay guys holding hands and walking around hugging each other. Nope, what do I care? Mm-hmm. Like, you describe West Hollywood. The difference is it gets better when it gets gayer.
Benoit Ballet.
Two men kissing with tongues flipped me out.
Disgusting.
Stopped me in my tracks.
Act against God and nature, I agree.
Yes.
Hanson just walked into this.
I know.
Oh, I did it with the middle kid from Hanson.
Oh,
ask him what he gets here if I'm hired.
Listen, there's other women here. Listen, Kim from Sacramento says she only watches gay porn.
That's what I want. Kim?
Exclusively. Yes. Good morning, guys.
What's happening?
Teresa.
How are you?
You exclusively watch gay porn.
Yes. I've got a theory for you, Adam.
Please.
Well, first of all, I think gay men are just hot.
Mm-hmm. I'll agree with you on that. No, I'm serious. I think they take better care of themselves, dress better. I'm with you.
Your average gay man nude looks 10 times as good as your average straight guy.
Absolutely.
Nude. Yes.
Exactly. So I'm with exactly. You. And I also think that, for myself, I think that, what attracts me to gay men is, we always want what we can never have.
Forbidden fruit.
And
in that case, I'd like to come out of the closet right now.
Thank you. Fruity. Yes.
Sorry.
Right.
And so, every time I see a gay man, I think, man, he's so hot, but there's no way I could ever have,
So there's a little bit of a fantasy of turning the guy around, pardon the pun, but of changing. I mean, let's look at it this way. Women love a project. They love to change a guy. You show me bad guy, rebel, lone wolf, who'll never settle down, and I'll show you a slew of women who are dying just to settle this guy down. Well, you want to talk about the ultimate lifestyle change.
Right. Yep.
It's not not being a playboy anymore. It's not playing with boys anymore. Getting the guy. I'm crazy with the puns today. What's gotten into me? Point is that's the ultimate project.
Just twice, and we all know.
It's the ultimate project is turning a guy not gay.
Right, but you're set up for that. I happen to know it's true. I'm 5'6" with red hair and freckles. I'm in pretty good shape, but I'm not what you'd go, oh, he's handsome. I'm short with red hair. I'm Opie Taylor if he worked out. But I get so many chicks because they think, I'll change him. I'll get him off drugs. I'll stop him from fighting in bars.
Oh,
he won't do that if I take care of him.
They're
and that's the thing. I'll take care of him. I'll take care of you, Danny.
Hey, Nick.
And then they do.
Wait a minute. Nick the dude?
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
Nick? Fella? Nick?
Hello?
Nick from Las Vegas?
Yes, this is him.
You watch gay porn as a guide to sex?
I do. I mean, I'm not gay, but...
No, how could you be gay watching 10 hours of gay porn every day?
You are gay.
It's just... gives me tips on, gay guys look good and, pointers on how to look downstairs,
I wish you weren't a liar.
I just wish
you weren't a liar.
Let me give you all you need to know. Shave your pubes. Now you don't have to watch any more gay porn.
All done with the manscaping.
All done with the manscaping. Nick, seriously, you're watching gay porn. How often do you watch gay porn?
Probably. I've watched it maybe twice a week.
Oh. Twice? Have you?
Not every week, but
Wrong!
Right. Be ready with the dump button. I smell an inadvertent S or F word coming up.
Don't do it. You seem articulate. Don't wreck it.
Hey, Nick?
I have some, even some of my straight friends come over and watch it with me.
You're such a lawyer.
This is bogus.
This is bogus.
Nick.
yeah.
You know what happens to young men from Vegas who call up radio shows and claim to watch gay porn when they don't?
What?
Yeah.
They go to hell.
Can I ask something, Adam?
With the gays, yes.
What is one of the cities that begins with an L gays. That we are number one in?
Las Vegas.
Where can you have a guy whacked for about $50?
Does it begin with an L?
Uh-huh.
Los Alamitos.
Wrong. It's still Vegas.
Las Vegas.
And we're
sorry.
A very powerful radio station, and I will track you down if you ever call this station.
By the way,
fake call again.
Another friend of mine, the friend of mine that knows the girl that started this conversation is calling. So she will confirm my story.
Quick question.
But we can't give any details about the friend.
I'm single. Can I have any of these girls? Would they like me?
Well, you want to ask?
Yeah.
Should we talk? Is this Lisa down
Mitzi,
here?
Mitzi, on line three.
Oh, Mitzi on
Mitzi,
line
three. Maybe I don't want to.
And by the way, yes.
Teresa knows someone named Mitzi. What a shocker. Mm. Hey, Mitzi.
Hello.
What's happening?
Hi, Danny.
Hi, Mitzi.
How you doing?
I'm yummy.
That's fantastic.
Mitzi, you know the hot friend that Teresa's talking about?
I do.
That spawned the entire conversation?
I couldn't believe she was talking about her on the radio, yes.
How hot and how blonde is she?
No, she's a gorgeous girl who's been a very successful actress for years.
Mm-hmm.
She's been an actress since she was in her early teens. She's beautiful.
And pleasures herself to exclusively gay porn.
She'll like other really, like sometimes I've seen her buy things like Big Women too. Like she likes
sex.
I was there. I didn't tell you about
plus size porn as well.
She I've seen her, but yeah, a lot of gay man porn. But I mean, there's a lot of men who like watching women gay porn.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm not one of them. Actually, I'm a big fan of porn, and I don't like girls. I mean, I like it, but it's not what I would go buy. Never. Somebody's got to be getting some.
I agree.
Thank you.
But like, if I see women together, it is a turn-on. It's not my thing to watch.
Well, women are wired that way.
Yeah.
Is this gal single?
This girl is single now, but when she was married, she would get her husband to participate and to
participate
to receive.
He's gay. Mitzi, how come they don't? Adam doesn't believe me. This is very common where guys want this.
Yes, I disagree.
I'm sorry. I can't believe my name is so unusual. I'll say this: I have friends that have sodomized a few men. It's happening.
The girl has put on a strap on, or
yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Come on. I know more of my friends.
All right.
I
have three policies. I have three policies involving the strap on and being violated.
Right.
A, I don't do it. But B, if I do, I must see it come out of the package or it must be kept in that blue stuff that the barber uses next to the combs on the nightstand.
I have a question about that.
I want it dipped in that blue stuff.
When
if you have that by your nightstand, A, I'm ready to go, and B, that says to me you like to party.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, remember the other day I told you Amy spent about $250 at the Hustler store?
Yeah.
And we've gone shopping before that. So I have what she called our fun drawer, and it's now overflowing with gadgets and electronics and stuff you actually need to pull with a Black and Decker to make it go. We have stuff. And she left that when she moved out. Like, kind of like, I don't know, to hurt my feelings.
now
here's my question. How do you convince a new girl that drawer is, it's all new?
No, you gotta replace it.
No, I do. They're expensive. The rabbit alone was $159.
I'll tell you what you do with it. Put saran wrap around it, put a big bow on it, and drop it off at your house.
I used to do that when I would drink it to Gretchen. I would open my Snapple bottles, pour out half, put in vodka, and then reseal it with a blow dryer.
May I ask for a moment?
it's not exactly the same thing.
May I ask for a moment, Adam, while I have Mitzi on the line? Because you've often said that I'm not the kind of girl that has female friends.
Mm-hmm.
And she can corroborate.
Oh, group.
See?
Mitzi?
What kind of group?
You have female friends that sodomize males.
7 years.
See?
Those are witches. That's a brood.
That's a coven.
That's a coven.
What's your cutoff point, Corolla? I said to, again, I hate to keep bringing up this girl's name, but she just broke up with me. Amy became from very innocent to doing anything at all that seemed interesting, and it was probably the best it's ever been for me with a young girl who was willing.
Innocent.
So I agreed to do anything she wanted that didn't hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
What, do you have, there's things that I would not want to do that don't hurt, but I would do since she was willing to do so much for me.
Well, there's things that hurt you, and then there are things that hurt the baby Jesus.
Right.
See, for me...
See, like the Spank movies, I hate anybody being uncomfortable.
If you're
going to
make me cry or the baby Jesus cry, it's off the menu.
No, okay, for me, it's only if you hurt me, I don't want you to do it. But if it doesn't hurt me and then you let me do weird stuff to you, you can do it to me.
Hey, Mitzi?
Yes.
You had a lot to drink today?
You yourself, have you ever donned the strap on? Oh, yes.
Yes.
I've not donned.
That's a big old thumbs up.
Literally.
No.
It's a strap on thumb, Adam.
No, I've not donned. Why can't I have a name like Michelle?
Everyone knows who it is.
No, we all know this is Mitzi Gaynor. It's all right.
I've not donned the strap on, but there's, you know,
a
handheld device.
And you put some in a guy's keister?
They ask for this.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
They're gay.
You know what? Guys, it's happening now. I think it's the oral of the new millennium.
All right. Well, look, maybe it's now third base.
Yeah.
By the time my son gets to high school, to be considered second base.
Pretty much. But, and Danny,
yes, ma'am.
So you know, we all act innocent in the beginning.
Mm. All right,
well,
thanks,
she's a kid,
Mitzi.
But that's cool. I'm all down. I don't care how she acts as long as she does it. But
maybe this is part of the metrosexuality that is going on. Maybe guys not changing tires, dressing like Ryan Seacrest. Maybe this is the next logical progression of that. We're turning into women.
No, because there's guys like me that dress like Ryan Seacrest who will kick Ryan's ass and make him change my tire. That's the new guy.
While he's raping you with the iron?
No. If it doesn't hurt.
All right.
Did you see Lisa about Marilyn Monroe?
All right, let's talk to Lisa real quick.
She do it with Kennedy?
Lisa?
Kennedy and the Keister? KK?
Hi.
You claimed that Marilyn Monroe was into the gays?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I actually read it in a book. It's called The Marilyn Diaries.
Mm-hmm.
And it talked about her writing in her diary that she once got dressed as a man and went into a theater in the back room where it was known that there was gay sex going on, and that she actually, you know, watched it, and she wrote in her diary that she enjoyed it.
I read that book. She doesn't actually sodomize anybody, though. She just dresses up like a man and sits in the back. I read that.
I'm going to have to go to Amsterdam and recalibrate myself. Because I didn't know, you know, I think of myself as an atheist from the valley. I'm hip. I'm now. I'm not pop for all. I'm not square. I had no idea that all this was going on behind my back.
I'm learning from a 25-year-old girl what the new stuff is that kids will do, that young people do. This stuff, you would think you'd have to go out with a girl 3 years to get her to do that. I was like, okay, I'll try that.
Bad just times bad. Or crazy times. Anyway.
Get a divorce, dude. It'll cost you a lot, but it's fun.
Let's put... From your mouth to God's ears.
Come with.
Come with.
And he's got like 50 25-year-old friends. I'll get back together with her just for you.
I don't want to be sitting on a hemorrhoid pillow for the rest of my life.
You know what? Not even a request. It's nothing she said. She doesn't want anything weird. She'll just let me do anything, and she likes it and doesn't feel ashamed or embarrassed.
I will go out with Amy's friends, but first I will...
Olivia, I mean you specifically.
I will be rocking my chastity plug.
Olivia, if you're listening, Mr. Carolla has an appointment with you.
Is this really... Do guys need chastity plugs now? Is this going to be the latest invention for straight guys?
Listen, well, we don't want to take that request. But it's coming.
Okay. All right. Now, let's shift gears for just one
Richard
second.
Gear.
Let's shift those gears to Hansen. That's right.
Hansen. Oh, no.
You know what? They're so, because you think of them as little kids, they're much bigger now. They know all about this stuff.
There's a
Hansen in that room older than my girlfriend. Ex-girlfriend.
I'm sure there is. I have told you Bop, one of my favorite songs of all time.
We actually agreed on that.
Said it many times.
Me too.
Hanson's got themselves a new CD out.
Love these guys.
I've never met him.
Oh,
I don't believe.
Great. The drummer's kind of trouble when he was a kid. He was a bit of a jerk, but I thought, famous little kid, I was a jerk. I'll bet he outgrew it. I'll bet he's as fine as his brothers, because they were just the nicest kids, played, sang, stayed until we, you know, as long as we wanted them to, they were great.
He just pressed his scrotum against the window, so evidently he hasn't outgrown that. We'll take a quick break. Be back with Hanson next.
Go ahead, admit it. You love this song. The boys from Hanson are on the Adam Carolla Show.
I have skipped 1,000 hours of rope to this song.
Oh, is that how you skipped to it?
Skip rope to this song. Hanson, everyone. Isaac Taylor and Zach all
he's
here.
He's a boxing trainer.
Do you guys still like the song Mbop?
It's the song we wrote. Zach's the youngest Grammy-nominated songwriter in history for the song.
Is that right?
Yeah. 11 years old was when...
Technicality. I think I beat somebody else by like 4 hours or something.
Yeah, that counts.
Yes. And unfortunately, MJ, Mr. Michael Jackson, beat Zach only by a few months as far as being number one artist.
He didn't win the Grammy. He just beat Zach because that's what Michael Jackson does.
Exactly. That could sound really confusing.
Unfortunately, relates into that whole conversation that you guys have been having about
the whole... We're sorry. Our show's not always like that.
You know what I'm saying?
Zach.
Well, Zach, you're now, it's been 10 years. Are you 21 now?
21.
Wow.
21. Wow. And Isaac, you are?
I'm 26.
26. And Taylor?
I've reversed, actually.
You're now four.
You're going the other direction.
Yeah. I didn't want to go the other way. I just figured eventually it would end with death.
I want you to, talk to your mom because in about she's going to need a little heads up four and a half years from now. You're going that direction. And for that matter, your dad as well about 5 years from now.
It's on pause, you know.
You know, as long as you guys are here, because I don't see musical instruments with you at the moment anyway.
Yeah.
I've had the pleasure of having Hanson play live because you think, okay, it's a guilty pleasure that we all seem to love Mbop.
Mm-hmm.
These three guys came into my studio in Detroit, broke out some guitars. I think you drummed on just like a can or something. Rocked the house. 10,000 screaming girls because we had a vast parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And they banged it out live. I mean, there's nothing joking about this band. They can all do what they look like they do. And
yeah, everyone plays and everyone started. Well, let's do the story of Hanson. I'm sure you guys are.
We should have like
sick and
like
tired of this,
of
but
kind,
let's hear a little harp music or a little soft tinkling of the pianos. It all gets started in the Hanson home when.
It's about 15 years ago, 16 years ago. I mean, we were little kids. Yeah.
Do the parents, do Mama and Papa Hanson? But there's a bomb
like the
under
Big
that.
Bad Wolf theme song.
Mama and Papa Hanson are music teachers, musically inclined, struggling musicians.
I'm going hippies.
Hippies.
Our mom definitely had some musical tendencies. She had
not more than musical tendencies. She went to North Texas State on a vocal scholarship.
We added in the genes.
Right. Paid
but strangely enough, they were kind of hippies. So.
Right.
Was Dad musical too?
He was. He is musical. He's just not quite as. He wasn't quite as gung ho about the actual singing thing. He's more like the frustrated poet, kind of that kind of guy.
Played a flute with one hole. It's called a carb.
Yeah.
Got it.
You could see Dad playing this song all day.
He reverted to later being a CPA, an accountant, for practical reasons.
Yeah. I see, to make money.
Yeah, exactly.
Or to keep track of their money.
Account it, yeah.
Right, so now is everybody... Speaking of money, is everyone set for life? Do we need to work anymore?
Well honestly, people say that about, are you
depends
set for
on
life?
How you like,
depends
live.
On how you
want to
live. Depends on how you want to live. We've definitely put away, enough that we could,
have an nest egg. You don't have to go more or less, but do you each have $1 million?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. That's awesome. Yeah.
And the thing that's cool about music we're talking about.
We're capitalists here, and we're proud of you.
We were talking about Phil Spector, I think, the other day, and how he's filthy rich because he wrote some songs and produced some songs.
And he also stole some publishing from people.
Stole some publishing.
And he also shot some people.
40 years ago. Meanwhile, everybody who was on Gilligan's Island is destitute and poor at this point.
Yeah, this is a problem right there.
Right, but music, they've seemed to figure it out, find out a way to... keep the cash coming to hang on to the publishing. I mean, I guess there's movies who want to use Hanson songs and there's a payday.
It's not just that. I mean, it is literally publishing is like the kind of the coveted thing, which for some, I mean, when the music business is completely turned upside down and people aren't necessarily buying records anymore, that's the kind of thing where you're getting paid residual.
Mm-hmm.
On different, whether you're playing, played on a movie, whether it's played,
radio stations like this one are required to pay, into things like ASCAP and BMI, which actually,
give money
to the artists to the people who wrote the songs and things like that. So there is,
as a songwriter, that's the deal. You want to write
don't
your
let
own
the little
music.
One talk.
Yeah.
Well, all I was going to say was a lot of artists, they sell off their publishing, though. I mean, that's still pretty common for people to go, oh, yeah, I'll take
they know what they're selling.
$30,000 check, $75,000 check, and later on realize, oh, that song was worth,
$5 million. When you hear about Merv Griffin and everyone's eulogizing him, and part of it is he estimates that he's made $70 million from the Jeopardy think theme.
Exactly. Yeah. Wow. He wrote the theme.
$70 million for the guy.
Did he actually write that theme?
He wrote the jingle as a way to get his kid, it's like a lullaby for his kid.
Yeah, that's a real story. $70 million.
Right, right. What is, I crapped myself, Daddy? But the point is, he made $70 million. He estimates $70 million.
I think he just made him more money.
Schwartz, is it Schwartz that wrote Gilligan's Island? Who wrote Gilligan's Island?
Sherwood Schwartz.
He wrote the theme as well, and has made as much money from that theme as he did from that TV show.
Oh, my God.
These guys, I noticed three wedding rings.
Yes.
All the handsome boys are married.
Interesting.
Yes, we are very lucky guys on that level.
Well, you never,
someone would take us.
You never had the, you know, we're going to do drugs, we're going to rebel against our parents, we're going to freak out stage.
They rebel by not doing drugs.
Yeah, exactly. We did the ultimate rebellion, I mean, honestly, I really would say, like, I personally would have never thought I'd be married this young. I mean, I really was like, I'll get married in my 30s or whatever.
How old were you?
I was 19 when I got married.
But you were so handsome, I thought, what an idiot. Hot rock star 19-year-old got married. I wanted to beat you.
You know, but apparently you did beat me in a special kind of way, which, by the way, never happened.
That's true.
That was you and Quagmire from Family Guy in another kind of dream. You know what? It's we've always, if you really think about it, we've done things on our own schedule. Like when we started off, we were really young, and I guess by the time I was 19, I met a girl I was in love with, and I was ready to get married. Well, it's just you have to think of it like being, in your mid-30s.
Yes. And
you
look at it like this. By the time Taylor was 19, he traveled around the world twice and made $5 million. By the time I was 19, I went to Van Nuys once and made $86. So it's not the same life, even though we're both 19.
There might be something that we don't know.
Can we do that music again? It was awesome.
Yeah. There might be something you don't know, Cole.
Just thinking about that time, it just makes me, tear.
That I also don't know, so I'm going to ask this question because you were so young and so popular and you're so clean cut. Are you of a religion where you weren't allowed to bop until you were married?
You mean boink?
Well, here's the thing. Talking about religion or whatever like that. Allowed is not the thing. It's choice. Everything's choice.
No, I mean, did you choose not to boink till you were married?
That was always the plan, if we could,
Good for you. I mean, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's beautiful.
Then talking about being clean cut or whatever, I think, most people, you guys were, we're talking about all this, different stuff earlier in the show, but most people are not going around screwing everybody and their brother. Like, they're hoping to find somebody. No, but not you guys. Not you guys.
They want to find somebody.
And maybe a lot of people listening are, but I think the average person is like just hoping to find somebody that they can actually going to be able to stand them then, have a relationship.
I could abstain from the bop if I could get the oral.
That's what happens.
Wow.
Am I right?
Put in front of almost anything.
We were just talking about affirmative.
We were talking about this and
they wrote it about a sound.
It has been 10 years since the first record, and we are lucky that we have amazing fans that have stuck with us for a long time. But with Bop, it's like we're probably going to get like a eulogy that's like dead at the end. You know what I'm saying? Like however many years. It's going
to
be.
I'm sorry to tell you this, but you're right. I was just telling Adam and Teresa about this when I was in high school. They erroneously reported that I had died of a drug overdose. Okay. I heard it on the news, and they played Come On, Get Happy.
Yeah.
And, I'm 48 now.
Yeah.
And when I do a TV show, I walk on and they play Come On, Get Happy.
Yeah.
It's never going to go away, dude.
And
I'm
you're
sorry.
Like,
exactly. I even sing or play. Play a Hanson song. Play Bop when I die. I'll be very happy.
Gone.
I love this song so much.
I think morning would be. What's that? We actually we have a tour that actually starts on September 10th in the East in Nashville and begin goes throughout the fall. But we're doing a few shows in LA as kind of a warm up.
I've never missed them when they're in a town.
We're doing the Viper Room tomorrow night. We did a Viper Room last week. We did a show at Spaceland. Like lots of random club shows, just for the fun of it.
Silver Lake, right?
Yeah, we just did one there. We had lots of great guests come out and sit in and play. Yes. And, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so who knows the Viper
like,
Room?
Like Danny.
You're going to be the Viper. You're going to be the Viper Room tomorrow night.
Yeah.
What else?
For real?
Where
can I come? Will you put me on a list?
Yeah. There's you know, of course, there's about 2 inches of space when you walk in there. You have to actually lube up and then like jump in.
It involves empty rooms.
Yeah.
It is West Hollywood, so
most people in. Well, I was thinking of Silver Lake, pre-lubed, but
Silver Lake. Exactly.
All right, The Walk is the name of the new album, which is in stores now. It's top 5 on the Billboard Independent Album Charts. You should know that Hanson, and I've seen Hanson play before too, not live. I've seen them play on TV. Everybody sucks on TV, and they did not because you lose something coming through the little speakers.
They came in with these little microphones, and it sounded like Bop, and then they sang 3 of the songs. I thought I was going to be totally disappointed in because it wasn't Bop, and they rocked the friggin' house. I will see you at the Viper Room tomorrow night for sure.
That's
swear
great,
to God.
Man.
Thank you.
And I will see you in Hell. The Walk, everybody. Hanson, thanks, guys. You guys are delight. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with the news. T?
Oh, the news is going to be a lot of exciting stories.
Is somebody flustered by 3 handsome young men?
Yes.
That's what's happening.
They're all wearing wedding rings. Quick break.
Yes.
Back with the news. Next.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
Leonardo DiCaprio's important new role has nothing to do with acting at 11.
Another great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I hate it whenever they do those exposés on the actors and the actresses, and they go, but in 1989 she took on her most important role ever, and it's always like, right, she became a mother,
right.
Fantastic. Yeah. But once I just want her to go, I want them to go, a Vietnam nurse with a taste for blood and a penchant for vengeance. She was a widow who swore revenge on the killers of her husband. It was her most important role ever.
Played by Bea Arthur.
All right, T, your most important role ever. That of the news girl.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Yet another professional wrestler has died an early and somewhat mysterious death. Brian Adams, known to wrestling fans as Crush, was found dead by his wife yesterday at their home in the state of
Florida.
He was 44.
Mm.
Police found no signs of injury or foul play, but they are awaiting autopsy results.
Let me suggest this.
We're driving to Florida!
All these pro wrestlers die at 42, 43 years of age, and we're shocked. I wish just Brian Adams would have died somewhere in the 80s. It really has some horrible songs.
Did he do Run to Me? I like that song.
A couple decent ones early on, but then went all sappy and weird in the early 90s.
This is
Here's the point. These guys live till they're in their 40s. They're professional wrestlers. They've had a lifetime worth of abuse to their bodies in 15 years, and they're jacked up on roids and God knows what other kind of painkillers. They don't make it to 90.
Sure.
They're like giants. All I'm suggesting is instead of being shocked, let's go ahead and make wrestling years like we do dog years.
I see.
When a dog lives to 16, you don't go, oh my God, the dog died at 16. I mean, hell, I barely had my learner's permit by 16. Life was just beginning. No, you go. So the dog made it to the ripe old age of 16.
Of 100.
So
making it to 85 or 90 in our year.
Crush lived a full, rich life at 44.
Do a 2-to-1, and I think we're about right.
And maybe they don't want to live longer. And this is the nicest guy in the world. There's no slam on the guy at all. I did a commercial with Hulk Hogan, and he is in constant pain. Constant pain. His knees, they break all their bones. They work really hard. They do. I don't know about Hulk. I'm not saying that. They do take a vast amount of chemicals. But you beat yourself up as bad as those guys. That's way worse on your body than, say, boxing.
Oh, yeah.
Because they fly off the top rope. And if you miss a little bit, you break your neck. I think you're absolutely right.
Well, whether they want to live or not is not the question. It's whether they're going to live.
Which they're not.
And we'll just go 2-to-1. So when you hear about a wrestler made it to 43, well, he made it to 86 in a ripe old life.
Makes the family
had 9 grandkids that weren't born yet.
Yeah.
That's all.
Have you heard of the Von Erich family of wrestlers?
Yeah.
This family is cursed. there was the dad, Fritz. He was a wrestling legend.
Fritz Von what?
Von Erich. Fritz Von Erich.
Mm-hmm.
He was a wrestling legend.
Definitely not a Jew.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fritz Von Erich.
This guy, he you won't believe how old he lived to, because for a wrestler, he died 10 years ago at 67.
Wow,
but
that's...
He had six, that's...
134.
I'm not good at math. Something like that. Yeah, that sounds right.
Old, not good at
he
math.
Had six sons, and only one of them, Kevin Von Erich, lived to see his 27th birthday and is still alive today. The first of Fritz's children to die was...
so he made it to 54.
Right, exactly.
All right, not bad.
Fritz had the first one to die was Jack. He was accidentally electrocuted and drowned while he was seven, not yet a wrestler.
So he made it to 14, just into puberty.
Then David died of what was probably an accidental painkiller overdose in 84, not sure how old he was at the time of death. And then Mike died.
Well, let's call him a round number, like 25.
Sounds good. So he's 50.
Easier for me, yeah.
Mike died of an intentional overdose after learning he had medical problems that would force him to retire from wrestling. Not sure how old he was. Let's say 30.
60.
And then Chris Von Erich committed suicide in 1991. He did it because he had never achieved the success of his brothers and was also depressed over the deaths of both Mike and David.
And then there was... like a knife.
Yeah.
Another one?
There was Carrie. Carrie Von Erich, also known as the Modern Day Warrior and the Texas Tornado. Mm-hmm. He was probably the most famous of the Von Erichs. He even wrestled in the WWE for a while, back when it was the WWF. He was in a serious motorcycle accident in 86, never fully recovered, and then shot himself in 1993.
Wow.
Welcome to the Von Erichs.
I think if I still had enough use of my body to shoot myself, I wouldn't kill myself.
Right?
Right.
You could use an arm, you could feed yourself, you could masturbate, I'm done.
Right.
As long as you could do that.
Yeah.
Try not to do it at the same time, but yes, I'm with you.
Yeah, especially if you've only got one arm.
Right. Yeah, that is quite a legacy.
That's spooky.
Very spooky.
But I'd take 65 for the way I've lived my life.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't die of like some horrible and it lingers, but if I just drop dead at 65, I think that's fair.
Well, I will also give you guys at some point my child star adjusted rate as well.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
there should be one.
That's not 1-to-1.
What?
He's in his 90s.
Right, so well into his 90s.
Easily.
Mm-hmm. Also well into his 90s, Don Imus. Or at least he appears that way on the telly.
Mm-hmm.
And he may be back in radio by September.
Good times.
Word is, he's going to have an African-American co-host.
It's good times. Are you sure it's not just a guy in blackface wearing one of those tribal masks?
Uncertain.
All right.
Here, Al Sharpton gives his take on Imus's possible return to work on Good Morning America.
He could become the poster boy of redemption and of turning around from this era of degradation. We've never said he should never be able to work again, but we would certainly monitor under what circumstance and what safeguards they would have.
Enough is enough!
You know what's degrading? I have no idea. Let me explain to Al what the ultimate degradation is.
Yeah.
Crapping out a bunch of kids and not raising them. That's degrading.
Yes.
I was
grading when you crap out kids and don't raise them so that they end up in jail.
I was just going to say Sharpton's hair.
He should focus on that little Achilles heel in the black community before he focuses on what Al Sharpton or whatever Don Imus is getting into. How about the fact that half the black community, the dads don't hang out and raise their kids? Perhaps you'd like to knock that down to 30%?
It's a pressing problem.
Yeah.
Is it really half?
It's about that.
Wow.
Let's just say it's more pressing than Imus.
Can't say anything. It'd be racist.
Right.
Right. You might lose your job.
Right. Right.
You get it back.
It'd be racist.
For more money later. Which
right.
Is probably what
no correlation between that and the prisons being filled with these folks? Or is it just racist cops that put them there?
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional.
No one wants to talk about it because they're pussies. Course.
I've got to tell you, because I so don't consider myself a pussy. I consider myself a serious hard ass. I mean, I really do. I believe that about myself. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But that's the way I really believe. But I got to tell you, when you say no one wants to talk about it because they're pussies, you say some of the most brave things on the radio that I've ever heard anybody say. That's dangerous territory.
I would love to think it was brave if it wasn't absolutely true.
Doesn't
that if you come
if
from a culture where you beat the F out of your kids beat the F out of other people. And when there's no authority figure around, it's just mama smacking the crap out of the kid with a slipper and no daddy around, then that kid beats the crap out of someone and ends up in prison. Thus, a prison filled with this population. Pretty easy math. I ain't making it up. look, if I say a guy shot a guy for no reason and the guy they're looking for is a black guy, and he is a black guy, then that ain't racist.
Right, that ain't racist.
If I say he's probably a black guy, then that is racist. Go to the prisons, see what color 10% of the populace on the outside represents, and then see what percentage it is inside, and see if there's no correlation between daddy's not staying around and raising their kids and mama's beating the crap out of their sons.
I'm just going to say it one more time. I don't care if it's true. I know what the ramification. I just think your balls out to be able to say what you believe.
My feeling is as long as I have the truth to back
is a defense,
me up,
legally,
then anyone can say whatever they want to say.
Not true.
Kiss my ass.
Right on.
Thank you.
Not usually I do that, man. Sometimes I think you're so funny, I think, wow, what a guy. But that was awesome.
Well, I don't care. Who cares? It's just the truth.
I'm scared. I wouldn't do it.
No, you would. And look, it doesn't.
No, I'd fight him. I can do that.
It doesn't matter. Al Sharpton and everyone else who focuses on this should be focusing on that. Doesn't mean that what guys like Imus, the things that Imus did are great, but that's rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic compared to the real problems that face the black community. Imus, first off, there's not a black human being that listens to Imus,
right.
So how does it make a difference? Two, he's making jokes. B, it was a stupid producer that brought up the whole nappy-headed thing in the first place. You guys are focusing on Imus because it takes the focus off the real problem.
Now.
You know what the real problem is. You just won't focus on it because you're pussies and cowards and hypocrites. You'll focus on Imus because it's easier. You're like some 500-pound chick who wants to know if her eyelashes are on straight. No one gives a crap.
Out of my nails.
All right, now wait a second.
Thank you.
What about if Sharpton says to you the reason that there's a higher African-American population in jail is because you, Whitey, kept us down so long. We had to steal to get by. We had to kill to get by. We had to scrape to get by because you imported us from other countries against our will in chains.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we do what we do and why we're in prison, because you personally, Whitey, made it hard on us.
Definitely an element. But Sharpton ain't helping by ignoring the problem and focusing on Imus.
Well, Sharpton's a fool. There's no two doubt. There's no
right.
doubt about that.
Yes.
His time might be better spent worrying on the conditions that occur among certain social
be
groups
spent,
than worrying about Imus.
His
Thank
time
you.
Might be better spent worrying about his conditioner.
Mm. Yes, I think most people don't appreciate what Imus said, but you're right, Adam. I mean, the fact is, Sharpton can go on and on about it, or he could focus on issues that could actually make a difference.
Yeah, and then once in a while, someone like Bill Cosby says something, and they all turn on him, because no one wants to hear that truth.
How about a nice story about coffee?
All right.
How about
Unless
it?
That's slang for black people.
Coffee's for closers only.
Huh?
Nope.
All right, let's do it then.
Actual espresso.
Mm-hmm.
You ever go to Starbucks and you see teenagers in there?
Yeah, all the time.
I see nothing but teenagers in there. Well, one 17-year-old.
Where do you think I meet my girls?
Mm-hmm. There you go. Her family actually owns a sandwich and coffee shop. And last Wednesday, while she was working, she started drinking some double espressos. She ended up having 7 double shots of espresso in just a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
She started laughing and crying for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got a fever and was hyperventilating, and she couldn't breathe. Her heart was beating insanely fast.
I heard on CNN this morning that she had 14.
7 double shots is 14 shots. So you're
14
exactly right.
Shots. Absolutely.
It's kind of like child actor years.
Right.
So her cousin called the paramedics.
Wrestling year shots, yeah.
She was rushed to the hospital,
mm-hmm.
and they told her, you have OD'd on coffee. They put her on an IV, which kept her under control until the caffeine wore off, and she says it took several days for her to feel completely right. And just so you get a feeling for what this 17-year-old was going through, the espressos that she drank were the equivalent of more than 31 cans of Coke, 13 and a half cans of Red Bull, or 10 cups of regular coffee just within a couple of hours.
Mm. Look, maybe this pops Corolla again, but in my day, kids didn't drink coffee. They weren't interested in coffee.
And they weren't allowed to.
They weren't allowed to. It was considered an adult drink, and it didn't have the allure of booze, so what's in it for me?
Yeah.
It gets you beaked up. Hey, I'm 13. I'm raring to go already. I'm bouncing off the walls. Already masturbating 4 times a day, for Christ's sake. What, I need a cup of coffee?
4?
7 espressos?
Going for a baker's dozen over here? For the love of Christ. And it was an adult drink that had, you didn't catch a buzz off of. You didn't get, you know, you didn't get a booze high off.
It tastes awful.
And it tasted crappy, so screw it.
This is one of those things you hate. This is a hot caramel macchiato. This is no cup of coffee. It's got the juice, but right. It's made to taste like hot candy.
Yeah, I don't want to sound too uptight, but I would kind of like to treat caffeine as a substance, just like alcohol. It affects you. Here's what you don't want. You don't want your kid imbibing things and being affected by that.
Yeah.
You don't want someone taking a shot of booze and getting lightheaded. You don't want them chewing on poppy leaves and getting a high. And you don't want them drinking a cup of coffee. Like, that is the realm of an adult.
Yeah. To alter your state artificially is the realm
right.
of an adult.
So I don't want my 12-year-old huffing copier toner or drinking coffee or drinking booze, and somehow coffee got past all that.
Yeah, it's true. It is a drug.
Good
if
times,
you overdose
yeah.
on it, you'll end up in the hospital. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. Do you, CNN?
Well, let's see. Gay walking. That's right.
We kind of got it.
We're going to get to it 2 hours ago, and we missed it. We got going on a rant, but we will pick it up.
We got going on a good rant, and before that, we were really funny with Hanson. We're fine.
Yeah. I think it was after that, but either way.
Whatever.
I got a coffee high myself.
Me too.
Either way, we will continue gay walking. You want to do the tees? Let's do the tees.
Which athlete was named the Bambino?
All right. Gay board op Bill, pre-op board op Bill, went down to the gay expose, talked to his brethren, asked the questions. We'll gamble on the answers next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser. We send pre-op board op Bill out to the L.A. Convention Center for the Gay Expo to find out if gay people know the stuff that the rest of us know. It's another round of gay walking on the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. Time is of the essence. Gay walking. Did I get my $20 out? Did I put it back?
Yeah,
right
there.
Here it is. All right. All right. Teresa's won the last three or four times we've done this. Let's start with my favorite song.
Gay walking.
Gay. Bill wants to know if you know all the things straight guys should know. You're homosexuals. It's time for gay walking. Cause you are gay.
I never knew that part of the song. All right. First question was about the Bambino.
Which athlete was named the Bambino?
T. Baseball. He knows. You say the gays know.
I know nothing about sports. Babe Ruth hit 714 home runs. His name's the Bambino, and there was curse involved when he moved. I'm going, if I know that, every gay guy knows that.
Yeah, with all the Barry Bonds talk over the last couple of weeks, I'll say he knows, too. We all say he knows. Let's hear the answer.
Which athlete was named the Bambino?
What athlete was named the Bambino?
Is that Babe Ruth?
Yes.
Okay, but since we're on a short leash here, did you hear that guy's voice and how much he wants to play? I would suggest, as your friend, I'm suggesting get ready for the funny answer from this guy on stuff.
Well, we keep moving around. We don't talk to just... There's more than one gay, as I've discovered. I don't know why we need more than one, but there are more than one, and Bill covers them.
You need two, or how's the first guy gay?
It's a good point.
Yeah.
I think you can gay off with yourself, but that's only in camp. All right, let's go to the next one. We're all tied up, one for one.
Which former professional wrestler co-starred in Predator?
Doesn't know.
Boy, I kind of think he doesn't know, but then he was also the governor, but I can't remember his name, so I'm going to go with doesn't know.
Former pro wrestler co-starred. Oh, we're thinking of Jesse Ventura. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was thinking of the Predator himself, which was a huge guy who may have been a wrestler as well.
Ventura's line was, I ain't got time to bleed.
Yes. We all say no on this one.
I say no.
I say no.
All right. We all say no.
Which former professional wrestler co-starred in Predator?
What was the question again? Co-star?
Which former professional wrestler co-starred in Predator?
Oh, wrestler. No, that was Hulk Hogan.
Mmm. Yeah. It's so predictable.
He knew a wrestler, though.
All right. right.
He's a Hulkamaniac.
We're getting better at this. We both go, all three of us, 2-0.
If all three of us go the same way, one of us is gay.
Let's hope it's tea so we can watch.
Me too.
Question number three.
Who are Manny Moe and Jack?
He knows.
He knows. Do you know why he knows? If you put a little hole in the front of the three guys and pull the match heads out, they all have penises. It's a game we played in school.
Yeah.
Wow. I feel like, okay, I'm going to go with a no, too. I'm going with you on this. Okay. We all say he knows.
Who are Manny Moe and Jack? The Pep Boys.
Yes, McGays.
Coming through, except nobody's winning.
No matter. It's just thickening. It's called tension.
Oh, okay.
Cut it with a knife. Oh, that was a fart. All right, let's go to the next one. Keep it going.
How high is an NBA hoop?
Doesn't know. Does not know.
I believe, am I right, that it's 10 feet?
Mm-hmm.
I'll go doesn't know just to shade things up.
Wait a minute.
I think he doesn't know.
Oh, then I'm going to say he does know. Then I'll say he does know just to shake stuff
It's
off.
Tough. It's one of those things where I don't think he knows, but if you were going to guess, 8 foot would kind of be stupid and 12 foot might be too much.
But 9 somehow seems right.
All right. So T says doesn't. Danny says does. I'm going to go with T and say doesn't on this one, too. How high is an NBA hoop?
How high is an NBA hoop?
How high is an NBA basketball hoop? Yeah. Is it like 12 feet or something? I don't know. The guys are 9 feet tall.
But you gave that answer. Or who was it that said 12 seems too high and 9 seems too low? Was that you?
Adam.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be Frosty Heine or Frank.
You're a little gay right there. You had that guy's answer perfect.
Look, it's like the cop, the good cop, in order to catch the criminal, he's got to think like the criminal. You know what I mean? He's right, a cop. Sure. I'm on the good side of the gay law.
To catch a rapist, he's got to become a rapist.
That's right. But I'm not a rapist.
Let's move on.
Okay. Right, yeah, maybe I protest too much. Yeah. All right, T, are we 4-0?
Yeah.
Danny, 3-1. Let's right. keep it going.
Sylvester Stallone played a truck driver and professional arm wrestler in which movie?
Is that Tango and Cash?
No, it's Over the Top.
No way.
No way.
No way.
Sylvester Stallone played a truck driver.
Hold on. Don't answer. Now, wait a minute. I say no way. T says no way. But Danny, you're down one.
You better.
And this is the last question.
You need strategery.
So you may want to use strategic message methods here and go with he does know.
I say he does not know.
Oh, and wait, now that I think about it, how well does that fit? The gay community. It was just over the top.
Over the top.
Yeah. Now I go, he knows. Okay, I'll take
it. Big arms, greased up guys. All right, yeah. Danny says no. T and I say don't know. Let's hear.
Sylvester Stallone played a truck driver and professional arm wrestler in which movie?
Rhinestone? Of course I'm going to pick Rhinestone. I love Rhinestones.
That guy is so gay that anyone within a 10-foot radius of him is bi.
Yeah.
He actually has powers. He radiates gay power.
Did you go to Gays R Us to find that guy?
He was the big big cross-dresser named Jackie B.
Jackie B, super gay, is what I have to say about that. I just love the techno music pumping the entire time. All right,
so
Danny, you're once again out of the competition. It is once again come down to a tiebreaker. I've not only lost the gay walking tiebreakers, I've lost the nerd walking tiebreakers, and just about every walking tiebreaker we've done.
It's a new tiebreaker this time, too. It's not heads or tails.
All right. Well, then let's do it.
Who would you rather get it on with, Danny Bonaducci or Adam Carolla?
You flip the coin. I'll take the other. No, I'm giving it to you.
How could I say me? I know that would sound horrible. Then if I say Danny, sounds like I'm gay for Danny.
It's a conundrum.
You go first.
Oh, no. I'm in a conundrum, too.
And keep in mind, like we talked earlier, wrestling years.
Yeah.
they're, and you know how you convert money into euros or whatever? $20 in euros?
It's a lot.
This is like $5 million to Teresa. You understand? Hey, that's not a put down.
Oh.
That's a cultural reality, okay? Yeah. That is not a put-down. This $20, which to me is nothing, it's a life.
3% of the population, yet 70% in prison. Jews.
That's right. She has won the 20 for me in tiebreakers the last, I think, 5 weeks running. I'm going to let you pick first.
This is so difficult.
Who would you rather get it on with, Adam or Danny?
The obvious answer is Danny, just because, you know, he wears the pirate pants and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like you would appeal too, Adam.
Baby, don't let politics play into this.
Oh, no. I think you would appeal. I'm almost going to have to... Oh, this is so hard. Can't you pick and I'll take the other one?
No.
Please?
Pick.
I can't.
Follow your yarmulke.
This is so hard.
I
mean,
hard. I can't do
Keep
it.
Bouncing up and down. This is so hard.
There's 9,000 euros at stake.
I know.
It's so difficult. All right, I'm going to say...
I've just sucked 1 year of your life away.
$20.
Okay, I hate losing. That's really the issue.
Money. All right. I'm waiting!
Danny or Adam?
I'm sorry.
What's with the jewel?
He would rather sleep with...
Sorry. Danny.
Danny, all right. I then must take me. Let's hear the answer.
Who would you rather get it on with? Danny Bonaducci or Adam Carolla?
Well, I'm not really into Orange Ruffy, which is what I call a leathery, broken-down ex-boozer redhead.
Yeah!
Adam Carolla...
Uh-oh. Wait a minute.
...does not make me laugh.
I'm ugly, but I'm funny.
Can I kill myself instead?
Oh! If I got nude, he'd be laughing.
All right. I guess Danny, because...
You know,
he might... slap me across the face in the middle of it, and that's always fun.
Damn you, Gaze! Gaze!
You know what? This is the first time I'm having to give my money away.
Gay walking.
Because you are gay.
I feel like I've been raped by 1,000 inmates.
Well, that's the only way you're going to get me, man ass.
This contest is rigged.
They volunteer.
Not only did I lose my money, but I lost a certain amount of dignity. I didn't make him laugh.
Nope. You lost to a wrinkled up, washed up, talentless has been drunk, according to that
Orange Ruffy. All right.
The object of this game, who cares?
I'm going to lick my wounds. We'll be back. Well, there you go. There's the show, y'all.
And it was a damn fine one, too.
I concur. Jeff Lewis should be thanked. Flipping Out, name of his show tonight.
I'd like to thank him personally from the bottom of my heart for saying my house is worth $6 million and listed for $4.5 million. Show for you, Realty.
Hanson, The Walk is the name of their new album in studios. I should say in stores as we speak and over at the Viper Room tomorrow night. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
It's gay porn Adam Carolla time.